What's poppin'? Drew and Mike show in the DealsNiddy.com studios. The Monday show, shorthanded as just Mark, myself, and Zoovs in the house. Because Brandon, I think, is it Kristen's grandpa died?
Yeah.
Yep.
So, of course, he lives or lived way, way up north somewhere.
Yeah. So, Ishpeming.
Sounds right to me.
Which seems, I don't even know where it is exactly, just really far away.
I'm not going to try and pronounce it, whatever it is. Anyway, best wishes to Kristen and her family. And Brandon should be back on Tuesday. I think he'll be back Tuesday.
He is coming back on Tuesday. I don't know if he'll be here on Tuesday.
Now, do you think his farts are just bleeding out up there, too? He can't control them.
That's a lot. Well, he can control where he is and which way his butt's aimed.
Well, but he...
I don't think he's going to be at a funeral ripping them up.
If he can't control them, he will be.
Come on.
There's show merchandise available at DrewAndMikeStore.com. And follow our new improved Instagram at Drew and Mike Show. Not to mention Twitter at Drew Mike Podcast. And I was going to mention about the merch. For some reason, the baseball shirt, Joey told me the thing just hasn't done. I was all pumped about the baseball shirt. And we had a lengthy debate about whether the number 5/8 on the back is hurting the shirt.
No.
I don't think it is.
No way.
I don't know what's going on. I thought that was a cool shirt. It's a 3/4 sleeve with black sleeves and the white main part with the logo.
Yeah.
Which looks like a Cardinals or a Braves logo, the cursive or Letterman. Damn it.
Yeah, what's wrong with you people? Go buy one.
Yeah, buy it. It's our name on it.
There's new hats up there now, too.
Yeah, the hats are nice.
I really like them.
Like them, too.
Really sharp-looking hats.
All right, a lot of stuff going on as, boy, a shocking retirement in professional football. We had the Stand Your Ground verdict. What else this weekend? It's just a bunch of things. We'll get to them. Epstein, there's more Epstein stuff. Eddie Money's got esophageal cancer.
Oh, bummer. One of the greatest astronaut stories ever.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm very pumped about that. But I wanted to, first of all, mention that Mike Clark's dad, Dick Clark, passed away.
Yeah.
I think that was Thursday or Wednesday. And I saw Cynthia's post. Boy, what a tough year for Cynthia. Yeah, a
couple of years.
And, Sin, I hope you're doing okay. I know Dick was, he was 98, wasn't he?
Yeah, uh-huh.
And, you know, I only met Dick a couple times, but he was just a super friendly guy. Mike was certainly a chip off the old block there.
We went golfing with him once.
I wasn't in attendance for that, sorry to say.
No, it was Walters, myself, Mike, and good old Dick Clark, just to get audio of him. You know, been on the green if you had hit it straight.
Did he have a slice like Mike?
Oh, yeah, he was better than Mike.
Oh, okay.
Which I think Mike wouldn't easily admit.
Mike Slice was absolutely legendary. He could point completely in the other direction and somehow slice it to the right. I couldn't figure out how he did it.
It was pretty amazing.
And it was always a mystery to him, and the hilarity always ensued. The further he was pointed in the other direction, it was the funnier it was if he managed to slice it. I really don't know how he did it. But, it's such a shame. And I know Dick was crushed by Mike's death. But at 98, you know, I'm sure his time was coming soon, and it was a long time. He had his wife till she was 90, and he had 63 years of Mike and Cynthia, of course. And I'm just, I know that's a big loss, and I know how that feels, too, because people go, oh, 98, it's still, you know, it's still the end.
We'll always have his letters to the editor.
Yeah, that was an incredible thing, and I remember how Mike used to get really excited when Dick would make the paper.
It was very organic at first.
It was, and they were always, Dick was just he hated our government. Who doesn't?
Yeah.
And he was constantly pointing out misdeeds, a lot of times in local government, which I really appreciate people like that, because there's too many things going on that nobody's looking at, and so.
You mean the government that matters?
Yes,
the local government.
Yes, yeah. Very much so. And Dick used to do that, and his personality always came through, even though they edited his letters, which angered him immensely. Almost felt like they edited them on purpose. And once they knew it was Mike's dad, I really think they printed more letters.
And then we just had him writing letters to the editor to us so we could just read them, so Mike could just read them.
He's quite a character.
Yeah.
Just a wonderful guy. And
we'll always have art.
Yes, art. the bat story.
The bat story. The rat. The World War II rat story. Remember, climbing up his leg towards a stick.
The art story was by far the funniest because when that happened to Dick Clark, it was probably the 60s or early 70s, and that kind of thing would be utterly so completely unexpected that someone would hit on you on a ladder when you're picking apples. Wasn't that how it went?
Yeah, but I never understood.
I didn't understand either.
And maybe I'm just missing something or it's out of my recollection. Why Art was with them at the apple orchard? Why Art was with Richard and Mike Clark?
And Art's move was just weird.
Well, so is the scar move. But, you know, if a move works, you go with it, right?
I guess so.
That's the way it goes.
Cut, print, gay.
I thought it was strange, too, that Mike talked about the guy openly. I think he used his full name and stuff. And I was like, is this guy around or something? I mean, isn't this...
maybe he was living it open. Maybe Mike was trying to bring him out of the closet so he could be happy.
Gay!
You can't out people.
No, it was not cool back then.
Even people making moves on apple orchards. But maybe he was out. Maybe he was fully... I don't know. It was a weird... The whole thing was just bizarre. But really funny.
Man.
A lot of good laughs. Funny how Mike had stories that he could tell and retell and retell, and they were always good, and I always liked certain parts of them. And then there were always... it seemed like there were always additions to the story or new observations.
He's one of the best storytellers.
The two guys nude fighting... was definitely my favorite.
Yeah.
Because it was such a visual.
Yes.
You could not see those two guys. I just see two nude guys slipping and sliding on like a shower area type floor. And then the one guy gets hard. And the whole, you know, people crowd around to fight.
Sure.
I can just see these people, a lot of them with towels, some probably nude too, just is turning away. The most awkward fight ever.
It ended right then and there.
And probably
he had a hard on.
I don't think. Who, Charlie Sheen, please. I don't think people. I don't think anyone talked about it until Mike did. I think it was a completely forgotten and understood that that was not to ever be brought up again. And Mike brought it back to life.
Mike's
many times.
His gold standard in storytelling is still the salad.
Salad story, yeah. Of course. So best wishes to Cynthia and Trish and everyone who misses Mike Clark, of course, the entire family.
And now Richard, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Richard Clark. That's what I meant.
Yep.
And Charlie was here earlier today. They were shooting something. I don't know if I want to say what it was, but it was quite a production.
Mm-hmm.
Matt was here. Bob was here. Karen was here. Joe was here. And it's...
Other Joe was here.
That's right. Yeah, Joe played a major starring role. Without one speaking line. But I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Is it in 3D?
No.
Not interested.
It's going to be quite a production, I think. And I'm glad Charlie's getting into video. He really needed to do that.
Where it shines.
I was just so tired this morning because I went to Smithereens last night.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, at Magic Bag with Marshall Crenshaw.
Yeah.
And I ran into some people there, some people listen to the podcast, and also Podell was there.
Really?
Yeah, with Sue.
That was the doc.
The doc was fired up.
Yeah?
He is pumped. He's so pumped to be part of the Radio Wars again.
Oh, I knew he always loved Radio Wars,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, he loves it, man.
I think when those ended, it took a little bit out of him.
I agree. It took something out of me, too. I didn't understand all this friendliness and, you know, hey, we're your sister station and we're all friends.
Don't you need someone to battle in life? Don't you need a competitor? Isn't competition what makes America great?
I thought so. It's really different now. It's really weird. But, you know.
Because they're all. Well,
yeah,
they're
you're
all
in the same
struggling.
Building. You know, like Riv and CSX are together. And,
yeah.
But, you know, LLZ is with iHeart. And so, yeah, that was an unwelcome competitor. Make no mistake about it. And Doug is pumped. And they had a big event on Saturday, and Sue Podell was there. Sue, every time I see Sue, it's probably 10 years. Every 10 years I've heard of Sue Podell. She never looks a day different.
Nice. It's good.
What's going on, Sue? No,
what's
she looks
secret?
Great. And Doug was so fired up. He wants me to get more involved over there.
And how did you change the conversation away from you being more involved over there?
I did my best. I couldn't seem to do it. He was really geek.
Gary, we're out 6 hours a week.
I know. Something like that. Gary Graff was there, too, of course.
Yeah. Was he wearing his Smoke One jersey?
I didn't notice what he was wearing, actually. I think he was wearing He could have been wearing a jacket. He was on his way out, and I just said hi quickly. Hey, what, does he ever miss a big show? Honestly,
Only if he has to pick or choose one over the other. That's when he runs into trouble.
He's an absolute animal.
Yeah.
Great follow on Twitter, too, at GraphOnMusic. So today, you know what I need to do? I need to mention our new Facebook sponsor, GrowGreen MI. As Facebook Live will be brought to you by...
And that green thing today was enough.
GrowGreen MI, where they buy in bulk and pass their savings on to you, the grower, with insane deals like gallons of Mammoth Pea for $5.25, Advanced Nutrients Big Bud gallons for $75, and bags of Ocean Forest for only $10. Boy, did I ever think I'd be reading something like this?
Oh, it's great.
Bring them your quote from any other store. They'll beat it. Did you hear that? Bring them your quote from any other store, and they'll beat it.
Shop New Green Deal, or whatever the hell they call it.
Shop where the commercial growers go. Shop the largest hydro store in the country. Grow Green, I'm 36 and look more like her online at growgreenmi.com.
The Green New Deal, right? Green New Deal.
Great to have Grow Green back.
Yeah.
I hope things are going well over there. And let's see. All right. Andrew Luck retired.
God, what a shocker.
I know. Should we play some of his statement? You know, first of all, apparently this is supposed to happen on Monday. He's in street clothes on the sideline at the Colts exhibition game Saturday night, and it gets reported. Everyone in the stands finds this out on their phones, so he's walking off the field in the game, and they're booing the crap out of him.
Yeah, and the one guy was yelling, "Don't do it!" As if one guy yelling from the crowd is going to make Andrew Luck change his mind.
I don't know what I expected, but...
Well, I think that's the first reaction. If your quarterback's gone, it's like, no! But if you
Well,
think
if they yelled
it,
no... instead of boo, I don't know, it just seemed so rotten. I mean, you know the guy felt horrible about it. He didn't want to retire.
No,
I think he did.
No, here's his statement.
It is certainly isn't how I envisioned this or planned this.
Which, by the way, doesn't he talk really weird? I think he's got a really bizarre voice.
He's a strange cat.
Yeah. This is the other thing that sucks. This was the press conference that was supposed to happen today or tomorrow.
Right.
But because, like you said, it leaked out, which really sucks during the game. That he had to give a press conference right after the preseason game.
But I am going to retire. This is not an easy decision. Honestly, it's the hardest decision of my life. But it is the right decision for me. For the last 4 years or so, I've been in this cycle of injury, pain, rehab, injury, pain, rehab. And it's been unceasing and unrelenting, both in season, both in and off season, and I felt stuck in it. And the only way I see out is to no longer play football. It's taken my joy of this game away.
Well, it's not tiddlywinks. I mean, come on, look.
Uh oh.
Man up! Stop crying.
Sorry.
The cameras. He apologized to the Jew.
It's okay.
Which he should anyway.
I've been stuck in this process. I haven't been able to live the life I want to live.
Can you apologize to the fantasy people that drafted
taking
him?
The joy out of this
Isn't
game.
That the biggest crime
2016,
here?
Yes. Where I played in pain and was unable.
Did OJ draft him? Did I hear that?
Yeah, we'll get that to I would that. Not go down okay. that path again. I find myself in a similar situation, and the only way forward for me okay. is to remove myself from football in this cycle that I've been in.
Who's he, a cycle? Stop talking about cycles.
Come to the proverbial fork in the road.
Well, I think he's just blabbling now.
I made a vow to myself.
He's a Stanford guy. He's
again,
a very smart guy. And I think it's probably a smart decision because...
It's a brilliant decision.
He's not a guy that wears $500,000 worth of jewelry and buys Bentleys for people. I suspect that like Gronk, he probably has made a lot of money.
He's made close to $1 million. But everybody...
A million?
Just, yeah.
You mean?
Or $100 million.
$100 million. Okay, and Irsay gave him $25 million as a parting gift,
which is really interesting because the Lions have been going after Calvin's money.
Yeah,
and here the Colts are just like, no, keep the 25.
It's my man, Irsay.
Well, it kind of makes me like him even more, right?
Absolutely, and I think too, it's one of those things that you know, instead of recapturing his money or whatever. If this guy wants to play in 2 years, which is entirely possible.
Then he can go to his dad's XFL. I don't know how many people know that Oliver Luck, who used to be the the West Virginia.
I remember him.
Athletic department.
Oh, you remember against the Hokies?
Yeah, yeah.
Sure. He's good.
But he is now the commissioner of the XFL. Wouldn't it be great if Luck comes back after traveling the world like he said he wants to do and then plays for the XFL?
Like in another 8 months, as soon as their season starts or whatever it is.
Could you imagine?
I think because Irsay was so kind, I would imagine he would feel indebted to the Colts to come back to the Colts.
Well, I think he has.
He owns his rights anyway, right?
Choice, yeah. He'd have to. But, I mean, at least, don't you want to leave the door open?
Yeah.
But he's had those nagging injuries.
Well, I didn't realize his injury history was as bad as it is.
Yeah.
And I get it. You know, and Gronk is his age. Gronk retired. Nobody said a word.
I think the difference is Gronk always played with that giant thing on his arm. And he's a tight end, so he's always getting hit. Maybe it just seems
he's
like
a quarterback.
Well, maybe quarterback, but quarterback's viewed as a safer position.
It hasn't been safe for him.
Meanwhile, Tom Brady's playing and he's what, 80 years old.
Well, I don't even understand that. And, you know, I'm not going to criticize a guy that wants to play. I just don't know what he has yet to gain. It's like he's trying to put the records in some new universe where
he just loves the sport.
I think he does too. I don't think Tom Brady wants to do anything else. I think that's part of the deal is, I'm a football player.
He doesn't know anything else.
No.
He doesn't. What if when Brady retires, just does tons of bad investments? Just every Ponzi scheme.
And comes back at 52 for half a million.
Here's another quote from Andrew Luck.
Now, I have a bulging disc between my L4 and my L5 on my spinal cord, right on my lumbar vertebra.
See, he's injured. Guy's in bad shape.
Now, other early retirements.
Wait, before we get off him real quick,
yeah,
he also needs to hire a bodyguard because somebody is coming after him.
I've forgotten that comeback against the Chiefs, by the way, in 2014 in the wild card game.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
He did not have a good postseason career. Here's why he needs protection. Because of this video.
Andrew Luck, what did I do to you? You could have retired an hour and a half ago before I picked you in my fantasy picks. I mean, what did I do, man? I've been a fan of yours. Why would you do this to me? Come out of retirement. I'm just saying.
O.J. Simpson.
He always cracks himself up.
Isn't it amazing how O.J. just made that about himself?
Of course he did.
What did I ever do to you? I'm going to kill you and your waiter.
He's a narcissist.
And who are these dopes in his fantasy draft with them? Although I got to tell you, if I was invited to be in O.J.'s fantasy league, I'd probably join.
I think I would, too. I don't even play fantasy, and I probably would.
Just to rag him.
Just think of O.J. after the arrest, in jail, the DNA is coming in. He's dropped blood from the murder site, left a bloody glove, too, that's his, all the way to his house, all the way up the stairs, all the way to his shower. Socks have blood on them. Everybody's blood in his vehicle. And now, would you ever imagine that 25 years later, he'd be joking about fantasy drafts on Twitter with a million followers. It's crazy. It's insane.
It's really a great American comeback story, isn't it?
I don't know what else to call it. It's so ridiculous.
He's such a pariah.
So you got Gronk, who's 29, who retires, and he's got a bunch of rings. So I think people go, oh, well, he's got his rings, and what else is there to play for? Whereas Andrew Luck hasn't gotten to the mountain.
Sure.
So he's supposed to want to. Also, when people...
Andrew Luck from a football family, as we talked about. So I think people think that means more to him.
People also think, and they're generally right, that no one leaves money on the table. But some people don't do everything for money. I think he's one of those rare people who is saying, you know what, I've made a lot of money.
How much is enough? $100 million?
I think he's made enough money. I'm sure most people would say, I want that other 50 for the next 3 years. But Irsay gave him half of it, so.
Yeah.
Jim Brown was a pretty major early retirement. He led the league in rushing in 65. And I don't think people expected him to quit after 8 years. But I don't know what else.
He's not as good as Jim Brown.
I don't think Jim Brown's legacy is tarnished.
No. Didn't he leave, though, to do Hollywood, to go to Hollywood,
yeah,
to movies?
But I think he also was on top of his game and ready to go. Sure. You know, Barry, I've never seen Barry struggle, ever.
No.
And he had a long career, and would it really have mattered with the Lions if he stayed? Calvin, too, for that matter?
I look, these players want to retire, quote unquote, early. I'm fine with it. Everybody should be fine with it. You know, the way the league chews players up and spits them out. So what if a superstar wants to retire early? I think it's smart.
And these drooling 50-year-olds walking around who don't know where they are, who played too long. I mean, you have to look at that. Plus, the money is so huge.
And I don't think they owe the fans anything. I really don't.
No, I think that's a big joke. Lions, by the way, I guess Ragnow is not injured badly, but Davis is going to be out for a while?
I thought they were both going to be out for a while, but neither are on IR.
Okay,
it's hard to say.
And Desmond Howard, college football kicked in Friday. It's not a sports podcast, by the way, but kicked in Saturday.
It's the falls used to it.
Miami and Florida. Florida won the game. I only watched a little part of it.
Highest rated college game since 2016.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think the early start, only game on, really the only game on.
Wow.
Yeah.
Highest rated regular season game?
Yeah.
No kidding. Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, you have a matchup like that, Miami and
Florida. Do we have the audio of Desmond Howard outraging the sports world?
Jesus Christ.
Were people really angry about this?
No, I don't think so.
Or is it when someone tweets it and then people who would be angry, the people who are potentially the angriest, who would never watch him on game day, they get angry?
Or they
is that
know,
who it is?
Don't know where it comes
from.
You
make a big enough splash to beat Ohio State this year. I know you've never been asked that question.
Oh, Reese Davis, is Desmond Howard going to have the Djokovic? Is Desmond Howard going to have the Djokovic? 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 Michigan.
I'm really
people
a little surprised he would say
about
that.
It. And then, of course, Wayne Brady.
His apology didn't go far enough either.
Too bad. Too bad.
You know, people.
Hey, Desmond, what's up, man? Good morning.
Wayne Brady.
I just heard about the comment that you're taking flack for, man. And I just got to say, look, choke who you want to choke. Have fun. And I'm a big fan of yours, too. I want to come on game day.
What about you, Wayne Brady?
Thank you so much for being a fan.
This is Wayne Brady's way to get on game day.
Best of luck to you, brother. Bye.
How obvious is that?
Anyway, I don't know. People must just not know that it's from Chappelle's Show, and they must just hear the phrase "choke a bitch" and they freak out. But he's not even saying it to a woman.
Not a great idea to say that. I wouldn't think.
Well, isn't
especially
it,
in a football pregame show.
You know, it makes it great too.
A lot of women choked by.
I think the setting makes it even better because they're in Disney World.
Yeah, that was pointed out by quite a few.
Was it?
Yeah, it was.
Great.
It was.
Love it.
Twitter was quite a buzz.
People.
And then he apologized. And,
the apology didn't go far enough. He's talking about domestic violence.
No,
he's making light
not.
Of domestic violence.
No, he's not. You're wrong. These people are wrong.
People,
I can't believe that became a thing.
Well, it wasn't. I'm surprised he said it, honestly. It's not really a show where you throw around.
No, the B word in general. B word. Bitch. I don't think you would want to say bitch.
Oh, choke. The choke a bitch. That's, I don't know. It really wasn't the place for that. But anyway, I think we can get over it. And then I really didn't want to stay on the sports theme, but there's just a few other things, including Mateen Cleaves not guilty. And the video, you know, this is what I couldn't get over, that the jury took 2 hours to find him not guilty. Now, this trial, this is really strange. A judge dismissed it in 2015 in spite of a witness and a video of this girl running outside nude. Is it three times?
I think it's
three times.
Was it three times? I know the video was two separate times.
Okay, maybe it's just two. Two ought to be enough. And the witness said she was looking me in the eye to eye, saying, help me, help me. Her legs are collapsing, trying not to get pulled back by Mateen Cleaves, who testifies that, hey, she's running around nude. I'm trying to help her.
So,
well, when she's yelling, help me, and looking at this girl, I think it takes on a different meaning entirely.
When I saw this story and then saw the video, and we know the story pretty well, all I can think of is, what are we missing?
Well, that's, you know, I wanted to hear from a juror. I want to know what was, I mean, because, you know, this is what happens when someone's found not guilty. This happens all the time. Remember Rodney King? Not guilty.
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't see the whole video. Bullshit. We saw plenty of the video. No one needed to hit him that hard many times.
So here's the first time. It looked more like he just asked her to come back. There she is, bottomless in a bra. Mateen's totally nude, and
but she's trying to get away from him. You can tell she's going to the left when he comes up on her.
But it's interesting. He says Or mouth something legs. To the people in the van. No, she's bending her
Look at her legs collapse. She's desperate.
Away before it appears, ultimately giving up. The video has no audio, but in court, a witness to the struggle testified about what she
saw.
I thought
this woman was credible.
She looked at me and she said, "Help me, help me, help me." And I had the phone in my hand and I told her, "I'm on the phone right now calling the police." I looked Mateen in the eyes. He didn't say one word.
13 minutes later, she appears again,
this time
running away from Cleaves, who chases her, then grabs her with both arms, pulling her back to the room. The struggle continues until she ultimately falls to the ground, and seconds later, she tries to get away again. Once again, Cleaves pulls her back, wrapping both arms around her waist and pulling her into the room. The same witness who called 911 also testified that she spoke to Cleaves' accuser that night.
She said that he got on top of her, she couldn't fight him off, and that she just lay there.
Cleaves' attorneys maintain that the sex was consensual all along.
How is that consensual?
I don't know. I would like to hear from a juror or two to explain, because they not only found him not guilty, they found him not guilty in 2 hours.
Yeah. I wonder if it's her state that, you know, because she was allegedly messed up or drunk.
She seems to be running okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Was it Tom Izzo in the courtroom? Is that what it was?
I'm sure that way.
I'm for who but Tom remember, Izzo's for.
Remember, 10 women, 4 men made up that jury, too, which kind of makes it even more surprising.
Women can be hard on women.
Yeah.
So I don't.
It just when you see that video, it's so shocking.
Well, I'd love to hear what his attorneys, how they got their way around that video. Did Mateen Cleaves testify?
It was consensual. No, I don't think he did.
Yeah.
Wouldn't there be video of that?
Yeah.
It was consensual.
So weird. I don't know. You know, and I like Mateen Cleaves. I've always liked him. He was very nice.
Seems like a very nice guy. Yeah, great guy.
Great player.
I don't know if you know this, but Tom Izzo's son's middle name is Mateen. He's part of the family.
Yeah.
Isn't that right up there with Matthew Stafford, his childhood friends with Clayton Kershaw?
Pretty close.
Exactly. It's one of those facts.
Boy, that one, I don't. I don't know how you can see that video. I thought it was just, it just seemed like it was so damning. At least it would create a little longer
time
before a verdict. But, you know,
that's what I mean.
The OJ jury was out 4 hours.
There's got to, really?
4 hours.
That's all it was?
Yeah. To find him not guilty.
I don't even remember. Only 4 hours?
I'm pretty sure. You can check, but I think it was 4 hours.
Wow.
Why don't you check it while I mention my bookie? Because it's a new season. Antonio Brown is on the Raiders. Le'Veon Bell is with the Jets. Beckham is in Cleveland. But one thing that hasn't changed. Where you can put your money down on all the games.
Yeah.
MyBookie. The place to bet on football every weekend. Better bonuses, more prop bets than any other sports book. They do have lots of bets if you're wanting. Gee, I wonder if you can bet on this. Well, check MyBookie because they have some bets that really surprise me. They're hosting the first online handicapping super contest. First place is guaranteed to win at least $100,000. It costs $100 to enter. All you got to do, all you got to do in quotes, is pick 5 NFL games against the spread every week to climb the leaderboard and score your share of the huge cash prize pool. We'll see how you do. Boy, it's tough to pick against the spread, bud.
Hey, teams if you don't try, spread. You're not going to win.
Somebody beats the spread every game. So there you go. Up to $1,000 first deposit bonus. You can double your first deposit. Put in $1,000, you got $2,000. It's better than last time.
What are you, an odds maker?
Use promo code Drew to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. Don't forget to use the promo code Drew, DREW. And when creating your account, to claim the bonus and read the bonus deal, because some people may not want that. More seasoned gamblers, maybe not. Bet, win, get paid. MyBookie.
Mm-hmm.
So,
not only was it slightly less than 4 hours that the jury deliberated, that included their lunch break for OJ.
That's
after 8 months.
So incredible. And, you know, I think most of them say they know he did it.
Yeah, but that's right up there with that lady that didn't like the mom of.
Oh, yeah. She pointed and snapped her finger at them.
Yeah.
Oh, I got a
great... Hey, man, Ben Lawton was carried out in a bag.
What?
I'll just say this in case we don't get around to it. if you like shows on the ID channel like I do, there's a great true crime new show about a guy called Scott called a guy named Scott Rogers. Mm. It's called The Lies That Bind, and he looks just like Clay Aiken. I'm not kidding. It's amazing. It's an amazing story, and I know we'll get around to it at some point. Oh,
well,
my
I'm
God.
You got to
bring him up.
Like
you just got to bring him up.
Scott Rogers?
Scott Rogers, Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
That sounds like a – wait. No, that sounds like a bad
it's an
radio name.
Incredible story. Well, his original name was like Joseph Scott Rogers.
Oh, God.
Hyphenated? What? And then he became Scott Rogers. He used his front of his hyphenated name as his first name. It's just
Oh, my God. He looks like an older Clay Aiken.
Yeah, he does. Well, he is older than Clay.
He's gay, right? This guy?
I don't want to say. Let's not jump to any conclusions here.
Well, they don't talk about that?
Yes, they do.
Oh, okay.
Of course
I mean,
do.
I'm basing that on the first picture I saw.
Did you really need to ask?
Well, now that I
Isn't
see that.
Isn't it redundant to ask?
Now that I see that that first picture is from theadvocate.com, I guess I didn't need to ask. He was a TV host? Oh, no.
Yes, he was.
He was?
He was. Around Town was his show in Baton Rouge. I'll just go ahead and tell you.
All right.
Why not?
Stop teasing us.
We'll
man.
Break up all this. People are going to claim this is a sports podcast if I don't, because I have one more sports thing. Scott Rogers, okay, he comes to Baton Rouge, and for some reason he becomes his TV host. I think it's called Around Town. And he's this super likable, super nice, benevolent, beloved, you know, just a wonderful guy. One of those TV people that no one can dislike.
The show continues now with all the good and positive in our community. And I get invited
to
many different
accent,
events, to MC, to do dinner speaking engagements, to open places. And I get to meet some really interesting people. This past week, I got to meet the Baton Rouge Tea Party. Well, of course, I was...
Oh, yeah, that sounds great.
Oh, whatever.
Baton Rouge Tea
Thanks,
Party.
Scott.
Ooh, fun. Oh, yikes.
Anyway, Scott goes on to have a church. What do you know? He's so influential that he's going to also spread the word of God. And then suddenly something strange happens. First of all, he lives in a house with these two guys who I think are in their, one's in their 30s and one's in their 20s. Like, who are these guys? And what's the, and a couple,
there they are.
A couple foster children.
Oh, oh,
and
no.
He has a daughter.
Huh?
I wonder the same thing. She's very pretty, too.
What?
And it turns out she's married to one of the guys that live in the house with Scott. And I think the daughter was living there, too. I don't know. This is weird. This is really weird.
I'm trying
to make sense of this as I'm watching it. And then it turns out...
too many weird connections living in one house together.
Yeah.
Pretty soon, I bet they'll all be swinging together. Just a big old fucking suck.
There was some stuff going on in the house. Anyway, suddenly it turns out this guy gets super paranoid. Oh, my God. The evil detractors, the haters are coming to get me. And it turns out he's just about to be indicted for, well, first of all, I think it's, was it stealing money from the church?
No, well, everyone
what
seems
the,
to
actually,
do that.
They had learned, this is really strange. It's a complicated story. You just got to watch it. The two foster children, he never should have been allowed to foster any children because he ran a dance academy in
Uh-oh.
England.
Uh-oh.
And what happened was...
He's got AIDS.
These two young, I think they're 13, 12 years old, Uh-oh. These two boys, two of the boys who were with him are among them, said that they were molested by Scott Rogers. And he had this whole routine, apparently, where... You know, the academy's everything. Your future's in dance. Your parents are holding you back. Your family's... He separates them from their family and then says, I'm your father. I'm the person you need to answer to, blah, blah, blah. And they become so... It's like a cult. They said it was like a cult. And, you know, I think this is so true. Anyone who tries to separate you from your family
friends,
or your friends...
Yeah, bad news.
Something is wrong there. That mm-hmm. is just wrong. They have evil intent.
Scientology.
They are trying to control your mind.
Nexium.
Yeah. It's true in all of them. What's the religion where you can't go to college? Because you're around all those people who aren't in... Is it Latter-day Saints?
They can't go to college?
No. The, remember the woman who killed her family in Waterford?
Oh, husband, yeah. Two boys. Jehovah Witness.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's weird.
You can't be around people who aren't Jehovah's Witnesses because they'll just screw you up.
So Scott Roberts, you said this happened in England? He got arrested for it?
Yes. Now,
was he charged?
He was charged.
Well, then how the hell did he get here?
Okay.
He just, get out.
here's what he did and what all of these people do, these groomers, these brilliant groomers and cult holders.
Get out of here.
They build up this incredible love in the community go along with what they're doing, people like him. And so when the accusations came, all these people said, oh, no, not Scott. Scott's so wonderful. He does this and this and this. And he has all these character witnesses. And they take him to trial, and a hung jury lets him go. So, so somehow, and this is the part that
they
couldn't even explain, was he got to America, he got a visa or whatever he needed. He got these other guys in America, these two lovers.
That's amazing.
They got to America too, and then he starts adopting his foster kids. So with all this stuff coming down, I'm trying to remember what the indictment was. It's driving
security
me crazy.
Breach.
I want to say he was stealing money from the church.
It's got to be.
But the England thing was biting him in the ass, too. Well, biting
hot.
The ass. It was more than biting him in the ass. It was pretty serious. Should not have been fostering kids.
That's the amazing thing. How did he get out of England?
You know, that's one thing they couldn't explain. Well, what happens if you want to – don't want the if you want a spoiler alert, here we go. You want to fast forward.
Oh, yeah. I'm never going to watch ID.
Okay. The way the story starts is, oh, my God, there's a shooting at the Scott Rogers mansion.
Spoiler alert.
A shooting?
A shooting.
And not like, I'm going to shoot, not like that kind of shooting.
No, no, not Bezos shooting.
Those happen all
shooting.
The time.
Yeah. And Scott Rogers is dead.
What?
And this guy that was kind of a teddy bear type, who's married to his daughter, but actually he's boo-fooing with Scott.
Oh, weird.
I know.
That marriage isn't going to last.
I don't know that the marriage of the daughter was consummated, to be honest. I think that was, I don't know what that was all about.
Well, honestly, what's in it for her?
And they all worked on his TV show, too.
Well, hard to believe your marriage isn't working out.
And the guy, the teddy bear guy,
yeah.
Who apparently had some involvement with him, he shot himself in the head.
Whoa.
Yeah. So Scott wanted the other guy, who was taken into federal custody a day earlier. He had said, I'm scared. Scott wants us to commit suicide together.
Oh,
I'm
man.
Scared. And so they just grabbed him, put him in hiding somewhere. And, the case is going to proceed. But then all of a sudden, boom, Scott's dead. And the other guy's shot in the head. He dies 9 days later.
Really?
Yeah. And then all of this comes out.
What happened to the daughter? Did she not live
there?
Don't,
they don't know where Kimmy is.
Huh.
Kimmie.
Oh, well,
she's pretty too.
Really?
Check out Kimmy Rogers. Yeah.
So who's the mom of this Kimmy Rogers?
Wait, the mom of Kimmy? I wonder who that was.
No, I don't know. I'm just
gotta be
wondering.
Scott Rogers' woman.
Yeah. So
how did that happen?
Or unless he adopted her in England and made it over here.
He probably pulled a Jackson and said, I want you to have children for me, and then I want you to get your stinky pussy away. Get away from me. I'll give you lots of money. Are you sure this child traveled through that stinky, grotesque pussy of yours? That's disgusting. But I'll pay you a lot of money for the children and then go away. Don't ever come back. Don't ever contact the children. I mean, it had to be something like that, right?
Well, if he's gay.
I just don't believe she's his daughter. I want a DNA test.
You don't think he's at least bi?
No. He's not at least bi. I don't think he's anywhere near bi. He's at least gay. I'm not knocking him because he's gay.
No,
the guy was
a pedophile. Fuck him.
Yeah.
Who cares?
So, I mean, I don't even know. I was unclear on these guys that he molested with this dance academy. I didn't understand. Were they still having sex with him as adults? Because they were older. And it's like, that doesn't quite make sense. And
it doesn't make sense until you think about he's a two-man cult.
Yeah.
I thought they couldn't survive with
him. Well, he's got the church now, though. He's got this church.
Yeah.
I got to look at that indictment and see what was coming.
It's a wild story.
It is a crazy story. And he does look like Clay Aiken, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
So okay.
Looks like a gayer Clay Aiken.
So I So I separated.
Only had some claymates.
I was thinking, what a coincidence. A guy that looks like Clay Aiken is gay. And whatever. I mean, you know what I mean. And then I thought, well, if you look like Clay Aiken, I guess you're going to look gay. Because Clay Aiken, he always looked gay. I'm not saying that badly. He just, I mean, I thought he was gay.
Clay Aiken's another guy, when he came out of the closet, everyone's like, well, yeah.
Right. It was redundant to say it.
What are you talking about? Of course. Well, it's not a big surprise. Just like when Kevin Spacey did.
Yeah, what is Clay Aiken doing, by the way? Clayton. Where are the Claymates?
I think I ran for Congress.
And lost, didn't he?
Did not win. I don't know what he's doing.
What about the Claymates?
I think they disbanded. Still once he came out of the closet, they disbanded. he's got a child? Clay Aiken has a child.
Oh, with his husband, right?
Oh, okay. Well, good for
That'll
you.
That'll be right.
Good for you. Yeah.
We are disbanding the Claymates. Claymates cannot gather together in groups of even three.
I'm trying to wrap my head around this headline because I can't figure out exactly who's who. Clay Aiken's baby's mother, James Foster's angry about his lack of involvement in son's life. Clay Aiken's baby's mother, James. So it is a woman. He did knock a woman up.
Oh, he.
Right?
Isn't
it confusing?
Does that mean he's at least bi?
Yeah, the mother.
What does that mean? Was it implanted?
He's 5 years old. Oh no! Now the
did he have a husband and stuff? I thought he was
the Green Beret. The kid's 10 now.
Oh, that guy, the Green Beret.
Okay, here it is. Foster and Aiken, who is now openly gay, decided to have a son together in 2007. They conceived via in vitro fertilization. That explains it.
Okay.
I just wanted to have a baby.
And then he came out. And then he came out.
Oh, you know who the mother is?
Who?
The sister of David Foster.
What?
This is so weird. How do we not know this?
Oh, my God. This is weird.
It's hard to believe I didn't win my election.
I would have thought he would have won. I would have voted for him.
Oh, I totally would, too, because I've seen him on television.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
But I think he seems like a... guy with a good
seems
spirit.
Like a fine guy.
I like Clayton.
He's cool.
Except he's a good for that singer, too. I thought he was a really good singer.
I take it back. Remember that time he tried to steal Ruben Studdard's victory away when he's like, I think we're both winners.
Oh.
Like, no, you lost and Ruben Studdard won.
Forgot about that. What was the story with the
he
Green?
He might be the most passive aggressive person ever.
I hate to bring up the Green Beret because I know there was something sort of ugly about that. It was when it seems to me it was on the cusp of like, oh no, he can't be gay. Because he has to have a career in music, which seems insane to think about now. But didn't a Green did a Green Beret say that I had sex with Clay Aiken? He's gay, and I have his.
He had a towel. Yeah, he had a towel with him.
Mm-hmm. Why did he do that though? Why was he doing that to Clayton?
I think he didn't like that he was living a lie out in public, which was it's kind of like outing someone.
Was the Green Beret out?
Well, yeah, I think so.
I thought that was in the Don't Ask, Don't Tell days.
Here's a story from 2006 where the former Green Beret regrets going public with the story.
Do they have comment with the from the head of the Claymates?
That was the first crack in the Claymates. I regret hurting him, his family, and his fans. I regret that I started a blog that ridiculed him. I apologize to Clay for that. I hope he'll accept my apology.
So
Aiken's rep did not return calls for comment.
I'm going to guess the Green Beret, the Clayton, dumped him. Maybe it was a hump and dump.
Oh, I think it was a one-night stand.
And Clayton didn't call him back. And so this Green Beret. That's weird that Clay would just completely.
I'm telling
H&D,
you.
A Green Beret.
He's not a nice guy.
What do you think the Green Beret would H&D Clayton?
No.
I just think it's weird this Green Beret who's like, oh, my God. He H&D'd me, and I've got a towel to prove it.
Hey, women H&D guys, I guess.
No, I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I think it happens with dudes a lot. I mean, you got both are dudes. There's H&D.
There's another story.
But there's retaps, too. Plenty of retaps.
Yeah. Why didn't
you're guys.
No, that's why he regrets outing him. He didn't get the retap. Alleged Aiken love toy John has been deluged with death threats from the singer's fervent fans.
The Claymates? Yes. Did they mention him?
Ever since his name was leaked onto the internet as the man who was babbling to the National Enquirer that he had sex with their beloved idol, who has repeatedly denied being gay. He passed a polygraph test administered by the Enquirer in an attempt to corroborate his bombshell claim that he had sex with Aiken at a Quality Inn in Gardner, North Carolina.
At a Quality Inn?
Yeah, so.
Didn't Clay have a career at that point?
Control, copy, paste.
Maybe he's mad about the Quality Inn. Like, you know, Mateen Cleaves, wouldn't you think that, you know, it's a rape? It's a, what? No, it's not a rape. But that
well,
was
but
not,
it was an alleged crime. You mean why? Because they had
I just
video
would have thought that Mateen, if he wanted to have consensual sex with somebody from a golf outing, from a charity golf outing, they wouldn't be at that hotel.
Well, it was the, oh, it's the only one in the area. I'm trying to find reviews for this Comfort Inn. Come back to that on January 2nd.
Were Clayton and the Green Beret got it on?
Of course.
Okay. Go ahead, because I should mention that.
Well, there's more to the story. You want to hear more about it?
Well, hold on to it. Okay. Hold on to it for a sec. Oh. Yeah, okay. Wrap the story. Wrap the story, and then you can look for the updates or the ratings while I mention a couple things.
The Green Beret claimed he and Aiken had 90 minutes of man-on-man passion at the hotel, which is near Aiken's hometown.
He called it man-on-man?
What else are you going to call it?
I don't know.
Man in man?
You could just call it sex. And they made love.
The muscle-bound ex-soldier says Aiken contacted him after seeing his picture on the internet. I have several personal ads on gay men websites. Clay later told me he saw pictures on a couple and decided to email me. On December 16th, using the screen name Valley Pretty Boy, Clay sent me his first message. I guess that's it.
Wow, the grin. I love your picture. I'm really Clay Aiken.
The reviews aren't bad. Okay, I'll cue some reviews up.
All right, Gabar Anthony and the gang at Zot, Ford, and Holly are in the middle of their Hurry Up and Save sales event. As the 20s come in, the 19s must go. And we're talking 0% financing for 60 months and nearly $13,000 off a new 19 Ford Edge SEL all-wheel drive. That's over 30% off sticker. That's for those of you who like to buy, you know, there you go. Or lease it as low as $97 a month. How about 0% financing for 72 months or nearly $14,000 off a new 19 Ford F-150 Super Crew 4x4? Yes, an F-150. Almost 30% off sticker again. That's a great opportunity to buy. Or lease it for $99 a
month.
That's
what I'm going to drive.
As low as $99. We all know Zot Ford is a spot for all automotive deals that are hot. So go see Anthony, Dan, Seth, Delilah, any member of the hottest sales staff in Oakland County before the Hurry Up and Save sale event passes you by.
I want to get in that thing and just drive it right away. Do you mind?
Yeah. And $1,500 off from Dr. Yalo mentioned Drew and Mike. If you're interested in LASIK, I know so many got better than 20/20 vision, but you get at least 20/20 vision. And then there's the multivocal implants, which over 20,000 people have had for people 45 and over to go along with 20/20 or better far vision. It also eliminates reading glasses. It takes a few minutes. It's painless. And it's $1,500 off. What the heck? Maybe this is your shot. Go to Dr. Yeller for a free evaluation. You're supposed to get an eye exam every 2 years anyway. Tell him Drew and Mike sent you for $1,500 off the regular price. 800-398-EYES.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow
play. Oh, I know that song.
And when you go in, just read the lyrics to this and say it to him.
Jackson Brown's first hit.
See how confused he is.
Great song.
It is a good song. Does he have any other good songs?
Jackson Brown, yeah. I think On the Boulevard's a great song. Boulevard. If you want to check out Jackson Brown.
Because I never liked Running on Empty.
That album's really good, but if you don't like Running on Empty, I don't know how much you like the album. The Pretender was a good album. Try Boulevard. The song Boulevard?
Yeah, I'm looking for it.
On the Boulevard, they take it hard.
Hot.
800-398-EYES or go to yeldowycenter.com. I like Jackson Brown. I saw him at Meadowbrook.
Did he get beaten up by his wife?
Well.
Am I confusing that, or did
no,
he beat his wife?
JFK Jr. rescued Daryl Hannah from
okay,
some
so
sort of.
So he was
of,
beating Daryl Hannah.
I mean, that's the way the story went. I don't know. Big hit, summer of 80, I think.
Down on the boulevard, they take it hard.
Hot.
It's got a rocking sound of guitar for Jackson.
They say it can be won, the way the game is run. But if you choose to stay,
you wind up staying in and wait. Jackson! kind of rocks. So there's no interesting reviews from Clayton in the Green Berets Hotel.
Yeah, hang on.
The background singing's great on this.
I got too many things going on. All right, hang on. Okay. Let's stop that. Okay.
All right. The reason I kind of
You want to hear one?
Yeah.
I
wonder what kind of place, you know, if you're going to take a Green Beret.
No other option. That's how that one's titled.
Some man-on-man action. How good is this place?
No other option. Booked advance 45 days out. Overbooked for selected dates. Guests with confirmations told they didn't have a room. Breakfast. Eggs tasted like they had box of salt in them. Biscuits. Couldn't cut them. Had to wait on coffee. Staff didn't seem like they really cared much. Several guests had issues waiting to talk to the manager. TV remote wouldn't work half the time. If it came on, he couldn't get it to turn off. Stained carpet.
There's a 45-day wait for this?
Bathroom, unpleasant odor. He might be in the room.
Unpleasant odor?
Shower wall, red stains from an unknown source.
Gross.
Yeah. I hope that unknown source is still alive.
God.
Back of shower tap, left corner, top ceiling tiles, missing large chunk and corner. Very concerning. Rather sleep in my vehicle than stay in this location again.
Well, why didn't you?
Not very clean. That was one whole review.
Not very clean.
Oh my God, look at this one. I'm not even going to read that. It's so long. Unless I see like the, okay. Unreasonable, won't refund. We initially booked our stay for 4 nights. After the first night, we realized we would need to check out 1 day early. That meant we'd be staying in the hotel for 3 nights. Their refund policy requires 24-hour notice. Since we were giving them more than 24-hour notice of our final night, we thought they'd refund us 1 night stay. They refused. After speaking directly to the manager, she agreed to refund us $50, a partial refund. Well, come on. People seem a little high maintenance.
Yeah, they got a 45-day wait. Why would they refuse that? They can just move somebody up.
Yeah, they had all those people waiting. Maid did not make our beds after the first full night and only threw the covers over the top of the second one morning.
What?
I don't know.
What was I working there briefly? That sounds like something I would do.
That's how I make the bed. They finally got it right the next night. Maid did not replace towels, tissue, or soap on a consistent basis. First morning waffles.
So they keep the price down.
First morning waffles tasted moldy.
What?
Had another.
Moldy.
Had
they have the day before's waffles?
First morning waffles tasted moldy. Had another guest try them. They couldn't eat them either.
What? Gross. Why would you ask another guest to taste moldy waffles? And why would the guest taste them?
Can you imagine asking a stranger, hey, I've got these waffles. They taste kind of moldy. Will you try it? What is What is wrong with the stranger?
Nasty.
It reminds me of the guy that stayed in the hotel in Kalamazoo for the Western Michigan game, and he went running up to the front of a long line with a phone receiver he had taken off the phone and begging the clerk to smell it. And the clerk's like, I'm not going to smell it. And he unscrewed it, and there was feces in the mouthpiece.
Which is just amazing. How did they get in there?
I know. How did they get there? And everyone in the line is witnessing this as they're checking in.
Well, what are you going to do?
A little surprise for you.
You gotta still
in your
check
room.
In.
Pick up the phone and see what happens.
Here's another one star. This place is terrible in all caps. I had booked 2 rooms, one for myself, my husband, and my daughter, and the other for my brother, his wife, and daughter. When we checked in, we went to use the restroom in my room, and the toilet made an obnoxious sound after it was flushed.
What?
That's the whole one-star
review. More description.
What is an obnoxious sound coming out of a toilet? It's usually going into the toilet.
Hmm.
Oh, wow.
I mean, a running toilet is annoying, but I wouldn't call it obnoxious.
No. This is not a place for man-on-man one-night stands.
Obnoxious sound.
I know. Got high standards, too. All right, that's all.
Okay. Just to put a wrap on the sports, and I only really wanted to get these stories out because the Andrew Luck story was just dominating today.
Yeah.
And I know Brandon's got to have so much to say about
it. You know what's funny? I texted him like right when I heard about him. Like, hey, did you get Andrew Luck in your draft? And he wrote back, no, I got this person. Like,
he didn't know?
He did not know.
Oh, he could have drafted him.
So I told him, which he couldn't believe. Somebody in his draft got him in the 4th round. Oops.
Oh, boy. Well, the...
His name's OJ.
The Justin Verlander story, Chris Thomas of the Free Press was called on to enlighten us on just what in the hell was going on there, because...
I think he's their... Is he their ombudsman, you know, the person that's supposed to work for the
paper?
Can
they name that something else? Nobody knows what an ombudsman is.
Yeah, they There's do, some, don't they?
Yeah. How many people right now you think listening are going, oh, the ombudsman, that's the guy who...
Joey, set up a Twitter poll. Do you know what an ombudsman is? Yes or no? They work for the paper, but
yeah, they oversee...
to be impartial.
Well, supposedly.
They're supposed to be impartial, and they judge the work being done from a journalistic standpoint. But I only got that. I only thought this guy might be that because... Well, to explain the story, and I'll point out when I thought
that he was. I know what you're saying. It's clear that the paper...
It's like their own internal investigation.
...feels that they're being sort of questioned on how this all went down. And I agree with the Freep. I think something was goofy here. Because, first of all, they know Verlander has a problem with Fennec.
Mm-hmm.
And so... I don't know why this isn't straightened out before, but apparently it wasn't. And so he calls and leaves a voicemail the day, Wednesday afternoon, and they didn't get the voicemail until Thursday. Now, if that's true,
that's pretty weak.
How can a newspaper get a voicemail from Justin Verlander's agent about coverage? Justin Verlander, one of the most important athletes of this generation in Detroit. And they don't hear for a day? And then they make a big stink, and I understand why they made a stink, because by the collective bargaining agreement, he should have had access to Justin Verlander, who is not going to answer any of his questions, by the way.
Anyway, yeah.
So anything, I don't know what it matters.
He's doing the other reporters a favor.
No, but clearly, the Astros are making a statement, which is, respond to this.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just pretend this never happened, because our guy, JV... is upset about something, and you're ignoring it. And they apparently have had contact before. But anyway, the story, this is really sounds dumb, too. It's nothing, I mean, it was funny. We speculated all over on this thing.
I can't believe it.
The relationship began to deteriorate in August 2017 when Fennec joined a conversation Verlander was having with Al Kaline in the Tigers clubhouse. Fennec had just finished an interview with Verlander a few minutes prior. Kaline's name had come up. Fennec began talking to the two men. During a conversation, which was casual in nature, Verlander talked about his experiences traveling to Tennessee and watching the solar eclipse. Fennec posts two tweets about the exchange.
And boring.
Verlander, who's into astronomy, I guess he and Kate had gone to Nashville to watch it, and so Fennec tweets about that. Well, Verlander's pissed because he said that conversation was not on the record. That was a casual conversation. We had just had a conversation that was on the record.
Now, that's weird, because I don't think he's really mad that it was about
astronomy.
I don't
think he likes the idea, though, that a casual conversation is being tweeted out. Like, what else could that have been?
Exactly. I think on face value, when you look at this, it's like, he's just talking about the astronomy trip, and what's so wrong about that? It's like, well, no, it's the manner of which it was told.
Right. I understand where JV's coming from.
Because if he's really mad about, you know, his being outed as an astronomy lover, then, you know,
no,
really.
Nobody cares.
Exactly.
Well, you could rightfully say, it's harmless. But
it's not.
Else has been said that was never intended that this guy is going to say? So I get it. But anyway, he ripped Fennec in a profanity-laced rant inside the Tigers' dugout in front of coaches, saying the conversation had been private. Next time they spoke in a post-game media scrum August 25th in Chicago. This is right before JV was traded, by the way. Days before he was traded. Verlander told Fennec, you should stop, in response to a question about the mid-game verbal altercation Verlander had with Victor Martinez after ball with the Yankees. When Fennec asked a follow-up question, Verlander walked out of the scrum. The next issue came on September 12, 2018, during an interview that went on and off the record and ended with a disagreement about the context surrounding the exchange of a phone number. Fennec had been assigned to ask Verlander about a Bleacher Report story in which Verlander said the Tigers misdiagnosed an injury in 2015. The Free Press was the first Detroit media outlet to ask Verlander about the comments.
Which is good. I think that's a good thing to follow up on.
Do they have to point out they're the first Detroit media outlet to? Do the other Detroit media outlets
take a day?
That's
what an ombudsman does,
Drew. Do they take a day to get a voicemail? Can they give us the policy there?
You're right. I don't think it's really worth mentioning in the story.
Verlander later apologized to the Tigers for his characterization of the situation. I declined to speak with a Freep rep last night because of his unethical behavior in the past. I reached out to the Freep multiple times before the game to notify them why. Oh, wait. No, that's. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're jumping ahead.
Well, they put it right there in the story. Oh, that's kind of questionable placement, if you ask me. since then. Okay, since.
Because the whole Victor thing about the injury is didn't he give him his business card? Fennec gave Verlander a business card, and JV thought that he was just trying to get his cell phone number.
Well, he told him. This is.
I don't know his phone number.
This seems so high maintenance to me if I'm Verlander, who does talk to the press, too.
Yeah.
He's not that quiet a guy. I mean, he'll do an interview from the dugout during a game. In mid-May, when the Astros came to Detroit, the Astros VP of Communications called Fennec, told him Verlander would not grant him any interview requests. So this is not new. Then last week on Wednesday afternoon, a day after Verlander ended a media availability before it started because Fennec was present, the Astros guy told Fennec Verlander wasn't speaking to him because of the misdiagnosis story published in 2018. Here's how Fennec remembers the interview. He interviewed Verlander at Comerica September 12, asked for permission to turn on his recorder. Verlander said yes. It was his first trip to Detroit since the Bleacher Report story was published about misdiagnosis. Conversation alternated on and off the record. Given the nature of the conversation, Fennec told Verlander he'd return after the game to verify quotes for clarity, which is not a typical practice. Verlander said, I appreciate that. Conversation ended. After the interview, Verlander's guy told Fennec that Verlander was having second thoughts about the interview. Mm. He also told Fennec that not publishing the story could help Fennec's working relationship with Verlander in the future.
Now, if that's the way it happened, too bad. It's already been done.
Verlander deemed the story unnecessary. Fennec returned to the Astros clubhouse to clarify a quote with Verlander, who then said he believed the conversation was off the record. Fennec read the quote to Verlander and said he planned to use it for the story. The quote read in part, I'm going to let it lie. No point in dredging up the past anymore. I think the easiest way for me to answer it is, it was initially diagnosed as a tricep. It ended up being a lat. Fennec handed Verlander his business card and told him if he needed to add or clarify the quote, he could call him before the Free Press print deadline time. He then, what's on? This is like, what? Mm-hmm. I mean, isn't this a little over?
Explain.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. It just seems like an awful lot of maintenance to get a quote in the paper.
Yeah. Well, it's JV, I guess.
Fennec then told Verlander he wanted to preserve their working relationship. It was during this exchange that Verlander told Fennec he crossed the line.
See,
he felt
I hate that aspect of it. Because you're supposed to be covering, and this happens all the time, and you can't, you know, people get mad because these beat writers don't rag on the team. It's like, well, they'll be cut off. So I kind of feel bad for the beat writers there, because there's just, it's the world of quid pro quo.
Well, you know, it sounds to me like he changed his mind about what he said, and he thought about it, and he didn't want it used. So,
but sorry, I mean.
Yeah, I understand. I do. I mean, he had a decision to make on that. That's a tough one. Yeah. Because it's Justin Verlander.
And Justin Verlander thought,
whoa, let's stop talking with this guy.
Verlander felt Fennec was using the situation to gain the pitcher's personal cell phone number. Fennec told Verlander he misunderstood the exchange of the business card. Fennec told Verlander it wasn't his intention.
Can I say something to that point? Number one, really, who cares? Do you really want your personal phone number? But couldn't he get it 1,000 different ways?
I don't know. I don't know how hard it is to get. I mean, I can understand why JV doesn't want people to have his phone number.
I do, too.
But he didn't have to call him, either.
Sure. That'd be
calling from Kate's phone.
Well, I don't think he's using Kate's phone after what happened.
Okay, so this is Chris Thomas who wrote the story. On Friday, I reviewed the audio of Fennec's interview with Verlander for the first time. While it's clear to me that Verlander was on the record, I did discover that Fennec crossed an ethical line when early in the conversation he offered to give Verlander advice on how to respond to the misdiagnosis question. This point has
What in the hell are you talking about?
This point has been firmly made to Fennec. To be clear, this interaction is not what spurred Verlander to publicly question Fennec's ethics on Thursday. Verlander said, sure, go ahead, before declining the advice, giving his own statement, and telling Fennec he appreciated the opportunity to clarify his quotes if needed. Ultimately, the paper found Fennec's attempt to be helpful in an awkward situation had no impact on the veracity. Okay, so in other words, they're saying, he goes along, but the reporting was perfect. It's like going with the reporting.
Yeah.
Multiple attempts. So, you know, instead of... this story up that, oh, my God, Anthony Fennec got to get out of the clubhouse, as if it was so hard to find out anything about this baseball game, which it wasn't and isn't because he talked to a ton of people.
But you know.
They couldn't wait to find out what it was about, or they couldn't tell us anything about what it was about. They already knew what it was about.
Now, maybe this is the cynical side of me, but you got to wonder if he kind of likes the fact that he was frozen out by JB, because this story is far more interesting than anything the Tigers have done this year. And we talked before, Anthony's last story about the missed trades was a great story, but this one is far more intriguing.
A couple days go by, and I'm reading a lot of, oh, Verlander's a millionaire baby! And, well, I'm not saying he's not a millionaire baby. I'm not sure exactly what he is, but at least I feel like they should have answered the voicemail, or they should have said, we think it's about this.
Well, because we know there's a past.
Yeah, they know what he's upset about. They acted like it was just out of the clear blue sky, didn't they? I mean, if you go back to when this happens, like, oh, my God, what's going on? Yeah.
No, but we know at least by May, because they told him in May when they were here that he wouldn't talk to him. So why wouldn't that carry over to last week?
Did they point that out in the original story?
No, the first time was when this ombudsman wrote about it.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's royal BS.
And looking at it from JV's standpoint, the whole thing about the astronomy trip, that would really piss you off because, you know, some things are on the record, some things you're trying to be friendly with these people that you see every day, time.
Did the ombudsman point out that was kind of bullshit?
Not at all. They just said, hey, he was mad that these things were tweeted about without, you know, kind of saying why he was unhappy about the tweet, other than that they were supposed to be off record.
I thought that, honestly, when I read this thing, I thought it was it was informative, but I felt it was a little snooty.
Oh, yeah.
That they acknowledged one little tiny mistake, but it didn't affect the reporting.
Yeah, the headline should have been,
In the K-Line story, I mean, sure, you can say,
this should have been the headline. It's
he hasn't done anything wrong.
There's your headline for the story.
Did they want to comment on whether this casual conversation is game for Twitter? Because he tweeted about it, and that's a little weird.
And they point out what they thought Anthony overstepped the lines when telling Justin how to answer a question about the injury, but doesn't think he overstepped the line when it's a friendly conversation that he tweets about. Which, when you talk about Justin Verlander, this was well after the fappening. So yeah. I think the guy might be a little sensitive about his privacy, as he probably should be.
Well, there was sure a lot of hubbub over, oh, my God, they've been security people blocking him. He wasn't going to talk to him anyway.
Yeah.
You knew that.
As he told you before.
They knew it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't like it.
Pretty bad.
Hold it. What's your clearance? Access denied.
Zach Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram is on fire with their summer clearance event. As the 2020 models are on their way out, the friends at Zot need to make some room, so it's time for the lowest of the low payments on your next ride from Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. You're waiting for the summer clearance event. Here it is. Today, lease a new 19 Jeep Compass as low as $166 a month. Got to get them out. How about a new 19 Jeep Grand Cherokee as low as $248 a month? Or a Ram truck? Lease a new 19 Ram 1500 Crew Cab Bighorn Edition as low as $149 a month. During Zot's summer clearance event, the longer you wait, the fewer low-priced rides you'll have to choose from. So don't delay. Surf their soon-not-to-be massive inventory at dealsinthed.com. You know, I mentioned the 20s and 19s in the Zot Ford and Holly commercial, and that's not what's going on there. They have the save 20% off sticker, hurry up and save sales event. It's nothing to do with 19s and 20s, so I apologize for that.
Yeah, hurry up. Hurry up and save.
And Hall Financial, the top mortgage company in Michigan for client service, big supporters of our show. They sponsor the Hall Financial Hotline, for God's sake. Lower payments, better options, more personal attention, and so many great stories from our listeners who were so happy with Star among their 755 Star reviews because they always put you first. And as Scott Kunith points out, he has recommended Hall to people, and they've used him on three occasions with listeners of ours who've been delighted. A couple of them were first-time buyers, and they needed somebody who was kind and could walk them through this and make them understand it, and Hall does that.
Yeah, because, you know, one of the fun things about being a first-time buyer is sitting with a pile of papers in front of you that you're scared shitless about.
You have no idea what's going on.
Just initialize all this.
And that doesn't get any better. But, yeah, you need somebody who is detailed and is not afraid to spend time with you. And I guess what Scott liked was the same person took them from the beginning to the end.
They'll
and
answer
that makes
your questions.
It a little easier. Yeah. So go to drewandmike.hallfg.com if you want to save money on a refi or a first home or a dream home or take money out of your home. But they do a lot of refis. Our audience seems to do a lot of them, too.
Now's the time, man.
Yeah, it's a very good time. DrewandMike.HallFG.com. They'll never tell you when it's a bad time, by the way.
Well, it's always a good time.
It's a
great time now.
Drew and Mike Show website. Click the link, fill out the online form, and they will get back to you, but fast, or 248-308-5000. You won't be disappointed with Hall Financial and MLS number 1467435.
I love saving money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now we have another very strange astronaut story to get to.
Oh.
But does anybody watch Mindhunter?
Joe
doesn't watch it.
I've seen a few of them. I know Brandon does, or has seen at least season one.
Season one was really good. It's about the FBI coming up with their profiling of serial killers by interviewing lots of serial killers. So in Mindhunter Part 1 and Part 2, they're interviewing the Mansons.
How's the Manson actor?
He's really good.
Is he?
He's really good.
Is it why? Because he looks like him, or does he act like him?
I thought he did a really good job at both, really. And
a long time ago, being crazy meant something. Nowadays, everybody's crazy.
And quite a few of them. And, if you're a true crime person, you'll certainly... you probably already watched season two. It is really... I thought it was outstanding.
Is it based on a true story, or is it a true story?
Yeah, there's a lot of truth. They're actually working on crimes that are going on at that time in the 70s. In the early 80s? I don't know. Is there going to be season 3, I guess? There must be.
I would think
so. The way
so.
It ended.
People talk about it like crazy.
Yeah, I wonder if that's a huge Netflix show. I suspect it is. It's really good. I thought the acting was fantastic.
I don't know. Netflix keeps trying to make me watch it. Don't you hate when Netflix does that?
Like, when they feature something.
You've got to watch this.
I know. The Beyonce thing was the one that I got annoyed with.
Yeah. Well, the new one and I actually watched it, and about halfway through I went, why am I watching this?
What was it?
Is it called American Factory or something?
Oh, I saw that. Yeah,
don't watch it.
I've skipped by it.
Don't watch it. It's interesting, but boy, it's boring.
That's really funny because I do consider it because I go, oh, they must really think this is really something, and so I do kind of go, nah.
I feel like Netflix sat me down and said, hey, you should watch this, like a friend.
Yeah.
And I started watching, going, well, I don't want to offend Netflix. Might as well watch the whole thing. It's about a Chinese factory that comes to Ohio and tries to get all these workers. They're trying to rebuild this factory so the town loves them. And then it turns out that whatever you do, do not unionize. It became this big battle, and the Chinese can't figure out why American workers are so lazy and all this. And in the end, they had a vote to unionize.
How much of this did you watch?
The whole thing.
Oh, you did? And you don't recommend it?
No, it's terrible. I didn't want to offend my friend Netflix sitting on the couch with me. I think I was playing games on my phone while it was going on.
Okay.
Which could have been part of it.
When I start watching something and the phone is more interesting than
that's a
you know, you should have something else.
But as I'm watching it, I kind of got interested in Mr. Chairman, the chairman of the Chinese, the company.
Yeah.
Who just was so appalled at American workers.
Well, I would be intrigued by that.
You,
that
dude.
Would. I mean, the cultural element sounds interesting.
You would hate it. There's too many subtitles.
Yeah, that's not my favorite way to watch something. Jonathan Groff is Holden Ford, and Holt McElhaney is Bill Tench. They're the two FBI guys. And Anna Torv is Wendy.
Huh.
Oh, she's hot. The two guys playing agents are just fantastic. Really good. I really like this guy that plays Holden Ford. I thought he was fantastic. I just think the whole thing is really well done.
So is Holden Ford, is that a real person? Or is that based on a person?
I don't know. Should we look it up?
Yeah, I've seen that.
Let's see what happens.
Holden Ford.
Holden Ford.
Let's see.
You know who Holden Caulfield is?
Oh, the first thing. Is Mindhunter's Holden Ford real? The true story.
Oh, it's John Douglas.
Yeah,
the guy that came up with
John
it. Why don't they call him John Douglas?
I don't know.
John Douglas is involved in the show, I think.
Well, that's like...
Loosely based on former FBI Special Agent Johnny Douglas, who's one of the Bureau's first criminal profilers.
It's like watching Chernobyl, the miniseries.
And wondering what's real and what isn't real.
Yeah.
I know, that's frustrating.
And the main scientist in it is real, and the main guy that worked for the Russian government is real, but the female scientist that really was the force to push the other scientist to tell the truth, who is female in the movie, is basically like 20 dudes. They just made it into one character. Who's a woman?
to make
as
it more.
If Russia would let a woman be a scientist in the 80s.
People like it in 2019. She's probably really empowered too.
They needed a female character, and that's the best they could do besides the one who got radiation poisoning.
Well, Mindhunter.
I want to see it now.
If you do like true crime. Also, people have been recommending The Amazing Jonathan documentary.
I have had a ton of people recommend that to me.
What is that on?
Hulu.
Okay. I got to watch that.
Oh, there's something you got to watch on Hulu first.
Oh, Jawline?
I got to tell you, Jawline is just a joy to watch.
I'm quite amused already. I only watched a little bit with you.
Do you want to go through it today, or do you want to save it till you watch the whole thing?
We
can save it. I have no problem. It's brand new. It just premiered over the weekend.
Why don't we just throw one good scene out there? It's very watchable. I'm not criticizing it at all.
No, it's actually it's really well done, and there's a whole story arc, and you kind of the people you hate. I think I texted you on Saturday or Friday night, and I said, "Hey, Drew, do you want some new people to really hate?"
Yeah.
I explained the documentary. It's about this 16-year-old who wants to be an influencer.
And it reminded me of that Amazon series I watched on Cameron Dallas.
Yeah, yeah.
Is he still a giant influencer? I'm sure he is.
I have no idea.
And that whole group of hot, funny influencer guys who travel the world for these live events, and all these 13-year-old girls show up. But I don't know what they charge. What, $15 or something?
Yeah. I think more, actually, because at some time
maybe
it is. He mentions how much they paid.
And they pay $10 for a selfie.
Yeah.
And these girls, and this is what you can see. Even the lovely, beautiful Cameron Dallas with the
selfie.
Perfect hair and the perfect jawline and the deep, soulful, he's a very soulful guy,
yeah.
Or he's alleged to be. He even starts coming unglued. Because these 13-year-olds, oh my God, I'm so in love with you. You know, and they just go nuts. It's like, but the thing is, they don't do anything. They just come out on stage and take their shirt off and dance around and, you know, act wacky. They had girls coming up on the stage, 13-year-olds, and TPing these guys.
That's the same thing they did on Jawline.
It's so childish. You can't, it's like,
they have on Jawline, there's one segment where they show them writing and preparing the live show. Which is just laughable because there's nothing to write or prepare. And the other thing about this, and you caught on to it really quick.
More mindless millionaires. Dumbest millionaires ever. Come to 2019.
These boys are like 16 and 17, and they're shirtless, and they're like hugging each other, taking the photos.
They're playing with each other's hair.
It's very homoerotic, and I just...
They talk about, you know, hey, some great skin cream. It's
like
really
everybody.
Strange. They're all heterosexual, though.
Well, they're at least bi.
Yeah, they're on the spectrum,
I
suppose.
I mean, they're 16, so I don't know how much they're experimenting.
I don't.
But
I don't hear a lot of talk about football.
None.
No, zero. It's
none.
All about looks. And I mean,
it's
how you
it's
couldn't
so
come out of that a
to
complete
me.
Narcissist. Their whole life is their looks. They drop out of high school to take selfies professionally.
And that's kind of the main plot of it. Here's
and we all know, and they talk about this in this Jawline, that, you know, 10 years? I mean, I guess, yeah, go chase the money if you want to, but these kids are dropping out of high school. I mean, I don't know what they do when they're 30. I guess they just sit on the cash that they got for being hot.
That's what this great manager wants to know as well.
Tell that to me. On Monday,
that's
we will
the
have the password to Musical.ly.
Who is quite possibly the biggest dick in this whole show.
He's a manager.
And boy, is he, does he...
There's no shortage of people wanting to be famous.
All these videos of guys dancing with each other. Fuck.
Jeez. Everyone's seen that you can get famous from it and make money, and they're like, okay, let's jump on it. But you cannot simply just make content. You need a team and people working for your goals.
You need a great manager.
Most kids starting out aren't going to know the CEO of Instagram.
Listen to this
they're not
going to
be able to call up Marnie, the COO, and be like, hey, verify me. Like, you can't
ooh!
Do that. That took me years to get those connections and be able to, like, literally go visit Instagram office every day if I want to and stuff. Like, no new
guys,
kid is going to be
cool.
able to walk into the doors of Instagram, one of the most prestigious and secretive platforms. I literally can hit request a verified badge right here, type in the name,
I don't believe
and
this part.
Send, and they're verified. This is not something that everyone has. I'm the only manager in all of social media that has this portal.
Bullshit.
Oh. Can I sleep?
Bullshit.
Don't forget the Old Navy campaign.
I wonder what. What do 20-year-olds who aren't in this world think of these guys? Do they think they're like the Twink Patrol, or what do they think of these guys? Oh man, he is hot. I wish I was that hot so I could be doing these tours.
So the main kid.
Do they just think it's normal? Like, oh, he's an influencer. That's pretty cool.
They follow this kid Austin AUSTYN from Tennessee who just wants to get out of Tennessee, and he follows a lot of these guys. And
it's so weird.
And it, I don't know. It's just
sits around watching guys dance together on it. I mean, he's a heterosexual guy. And well, not that I care what he is,
but he could be at least bi.
Could be. But I mean, he's like, he's just in love with the, and I mean, in love with, he's so envious of these two. Those are those two brothers.
Yes.
What's their nationality?
I don't know.
Anyway, they've got major frosted tips on their dark hair. They've got these blonde frosted tips. Not as frosted as Todd Chrisley is, of course. But, you know, he just watches their videos and he's like, oh my God, they're so positive. And to think that I can't even believe a 16-year-old or a 13-year-olds and 12-year-old girls watch this. And it's like, you should go for your dreams. Don't let anyone stop you getting your dreams. And, you know, it's all about positivity. And what does a 16-year-old know about anything?
This 16-year-old is a cliche machine.
Now, I know, and he's copying other cliche machines because apparently 13-year-old girls like you're about, your dreams will come true. Just don't give up.
He's got a pile of books here in his desk, and I've paused it, and some of the books are Blind Courage. The next one is Succeed. They're all from the library, too. And then the last one on top is A Hand to Guide Me by Denzel Washington.
Oh, brother.
Listen to him drop some knowledge, though. He's pretty smart, and he really has goals as to what he wants to be and how he wants to do it.
He's really positive.
Giovanni, that's the one brother. Those are the two brothers he's watching.
She said, what's a goal you really want to accomplish? I love this question. If y'all don't know, me and Dwight are all about goal setting.
They're always spreading positivity on social media, which is like kind of my goal, to spread positivity on. Well, not really goal, because I do it anyways.
Positivity?
But like, everything they do is like positive. Like every time they're talking to a fan or something, they're like always positive.
So. Wouldn't you go nuts?
You cannot change the world, but you can change someone's world.
Whoa.
That's what you guys should do every day.
Whoa.
You're fucking 16. How do you know?
Oh my God. He's so deep.
Dang.
I love it when he breaks down fame.
To have that. See, like, all these people, like, look up to the internet. That's so crazy.
These guys come to hate 13-year-old girls, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
They're just ATMs. That's all they are.
Ask them out. Oh, the other ATM.
Oh, my God. He's out in the, I guess it's a sunset.
Now,
looking up at the sky.
Every time he does something live, you can see how many people are live with him. And it's only like 30.
It's really important.
He dropped out of high school.
Fame is really important.
For 30 people?
And so when I can get famous, so I can become really positive and influence them, and then they become positive, and they influence others.
And then they find 10 people to be positive and influence, and then those 10 people find 10 people. It's a positivity
pyramid scheme.
The money comes, and then I start helping the world.
Oh, fame, then money, then helping the world.
I'm trying to prove that no matter what your current situation is, you can do what you want to in this life.
Not if you're stuck in Kingsport, Tennessee.
Look at what a few followers does to somebody.
Look, he wakes up and his phone's right there already on.
Of course, I recognize that scene.
Sleeping with two other shirtless dudes.
That's so weird. When that guy's playing with that dude's hair, it's just freaking me out.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great
moment where the talent argues with the manager.
And they're shooting stuff like four guys dancing against a wall. I'm like, I can't picture me and my friends ever doing that.
You never used to dance with your buddies?
We might have
shirtless.
No.
I don't have a camera.
Can't they get some girls in there?
This manager's trying to get his talent to record something.
Is that yours?
No, it's not.
Is that Case?
I don't know whose that is.
That's probably Jules.
He's like, I don't have a camera.
Can we do something else? Like,
no.
I was just on broadcast for 35 minutes.
Okay, I'm sorry you had to work for 45 minutes. Now you're going to film a video.
Yeah, but I have a video already ready to edit. Like,
great.
I have to post
powerful.
That on Saturday.
That's the whole point of Tyler coming here.
You know, like it's an
video.
MTV video to a song or something. He's got to edit.
Can we go eat somewhere?
No. There's groceries
Bro,
here.
I'm not feeling it.
Okay, then you should have ate before.
Like, when do you mean?
You can't just magically make content.
I love all the phones dinging, too.
The whole point of why they're here is this today. Like, can you not?
Yeah, well, you just I need to eat to get some energy.
Okay, go to the fucking kitchen.
What a whiny little bitch.
Yes, there is.
Go look.
What would you like? A sandwich?
I need, like, a salad to, like...
Great, we have a protein bar. That's healthy.
Salad. I need a salad.
Okay,
prima donna 16-year-old.
Right, salad mix.
All right, make a salad, then.
If you want to waste everyone's time here, my time, Liza's time, their time, everyone's time, the Hoers and Tyler came all the way over here, do that. I need you to actually film.
Make
the
salad.
Video.
Go.
For real. That's the whole point of this whole thing. That's why everyone's here. And that's
side note, whoever goes, I need a salad for energy. They're dancing. Just
so bizarre.
Weird.
Four guys dancing together.
Like, one guy on the left
bizarre.
Is twerking.
They're not gay.
Are they, I mean, do we?
Is this going to be a thing, guys? I don't know. Joe, can you get on the microphone, please? Joe's a lot younger than I am. Is there something that I'm missing here?
No, this is mind-boggling.
Is it gay?
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Do you ever dance with your friends?
No, we've never had a dance party.
Really? No. Have you ever played with your friend's hair?
No, absolutely. And nobody's played with my hair either, really. Yeah.
Do you share tips on skincare and stuff with guys?
Nope.
No?
No.
You should try.
No beauty tips.
Maybe
no.
You'll pick some stuff up.
But you're younger. You've grown up sort of with social media. How strange is this to you? Because to me, it's so bizarre. I mean, I just laugh. But what do you think? Because you grew up with this.
I've never seen anything like this. I mean, this appears to only exist on MTV. But nobody that I know acts like this.
Yeah, I don't know how.
It is such a small. It's got to be a minority.
I'm sure there aren't that many people trying to be influencers, but there's a lot. There's plenty. And I mean, in every high school, somebody has the most likes and the most followers. And
I think it appeals to the get rich quick
segment. Of course.
Of the population, because it is easy.
It requires no skill.
Well,
it's all about you. These people should apologize for their looks privilege, shouldn't they? They're making millions off their looks. Shouldn't they apologize for that?
Well, I think it requires a good manager and some good knowledge, you know, of how the business works.
I have no skills.
That's why you need this guy.
I can't believe they dropped out of high school, by the way. Why did they drop
out? Austin with a wise Instagram.
Austin has 23,200 followers. He has 10% engagement. I would not even look at his account if it wasn't over 10% engagement. Meaning, he has 23,000 followers. He should be getting 2,300 likes. He's a C-minus rank on Instagram.
Oh.
Ooh.
Mm. Mm. I wouldn't touch him. He's not losing, which is good, but these numbers...
This manager, by the way, has the... you know when you go to a bank and you get new checks and it's like in a folio? Where they're all... He's got it like sitting out on his desk. I guess to imply that he's constantly writing checks.
I cut checks all day.
Yeah, I got a lot of business to do.
Where's my checkbook? There it is, because I always have it, because I always have my checkbook, because I'm always writing checks.
The Cameron Dallas
thing.
Well
above that. At the point he's at, you would assume that they would be above that. He has 13,000 fans. He gets 26 likes on 13,000.
That's bullshit.
That's not good at all.
Yeah, fire.
Without someone telling him what he needs to be doing, it is all wrong. No Little Girl, which is what Musical.ly is, and like...
Don't you love little girls getting manipulated by people like this?
I know. That's really
what happens when Charlotte wants to go to one of these shows.
Well, I'm not taking her. I was telling you, I cannot wait to burst in on her in her room watching one of these on her computer, like a live idiot
live
talking
feed
back to her.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I go, what are you doing?
I'm learning about positivity, Dad.
Go clean the bathroom.
But that's not positivity.
Yeah, it is. It will be when it's done.
Talking about positivity is positivity.
Yeah, it is true. There's a lot of talk going on with these people.
Oh, it's a cliche. It's just a vault of cliches.
Well,
cliches.
Zeus, you saw me. I watched the end of it, and that jumped out to him right away. It's everything the one kid said was a cliche. Every single thing he said.
You just stacks them.
Yeah, it doesn't, you know, he's kind of an idiot.
When you were in high school, now that's going back. Well, that's really, social media it was around, wasn't it, when you were in high school?
Yeah, Facebook, MySpace was kind of the big thing around then.
Oh, you're old.
Yeah.
Friendster was already over.
But did people, I mean, did people talk about who has the most likes and all that business, or that was probably ahead of you?
Yeah, that was a little ahead. I mean, maybe people with their subscribers on MySpace or...
Ah, yes. Of course. There's always a little competition.
That's so weird.
Yeah, man. Quantifying how much you're liked, it just seems to run against everything we're working towards, which is people not getting hung up on BS.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's strange, but there's no stopping it. There's just no stop. It's like the freight train. Nobody can stop. You can, I mean, I'm not saying it can or has to be stopped, but
it'll wane.
I just feel strange when something that we know is destructive, because look at all the depression and the people staying inside all the time on their phones with all this crap.
Well, originally it was always, you know, it's a way to connect with other people if you're that person.
Well,
Now it's a way to withdraw from other people.
Yeah, it is. You know what I thought was really interesting and kind of frightening was this guy, Austin, A-U-S-T-Y-N.
Austin with a Y.
That? It's harder to Google him. That's stupid. Anyway, Austin... He's actually pretty lazy. He doesn't want to post it. He starts, you know, not posting on some days, and his following goes down pretty dramatically. So, in other words, he doesn't post anything for a few days, and people actually unfollow him. They actively unfollow him.
Yeah, you're
not posting enough.
As if following people is fine. Like, you can only have a certain amount. You can follow everybody.
Of course, but isn't it just odd that you have these little girls who are going, Austin's not posting anything.
Yeah.
I mean, really?
That is what they sound like.
I mean, they're sitting around waiting for Austin's next stupid post about positivity. And they got 19 other people that are posting, and they're going, Austin's not posting, so I'm unfollowing you, and I'm unfollowing someone else to post more often because I need to be watching this all the time.
So it sounds like that manager, by the way, totally boned him, because he ends up going on a tour. And it sounds like he got no money.
Oh, Austin didn't?
Yeah, here's an update on him.
I don't know if my manager's bad, but, like, I'm a little bit skeptical about him, you know? He picked me up out of nowhere, took me out of school. I'm homeschooled now, and basically put me on tour. I don't want to go back to school. Like, what's it going to look like? This kid went on tour and everything. 20,000 followers. What's he doing coming back to school? Like, it just don't look right. Like, why am I going back to school after I went on tour and everything?
The optics are terrible.
Plus, I hate people there. Like, I hate it. You know, before I got on tour, so many people used to think I was gay. But now when I got on tour and everything, then that's when a lot of people, like,
realized you were.
Oh. I get a lot of hot girls and stuff that try to text me now.
That are 13. Here he is trying to get back into the game. He's going to do another live broadcast to all his fans.
How's he going to get positivity out of this?
They're in the fight broadcasting, but I missed y'all, so...
Doesn't seem very positive about his broadcast.
All right, guys, get in the gas queue if you want to get gassed in.
Hey,
Austin. Yo, Ashley, I followed you on Instagram, by the way.
I know. Finally.
All right, so, Ashley, what did you do today? Like,
man, what great content.
He's a great
he
host. What'd you do?
Nothing.
All right, talk to me.
What a dumb conversation.
All right, give me a plane ticket. I'm out there.
Hey.
And now his mom is in the other room watching him.
A 13-year-old's going to buy a plane ticket.
I have to drop you, okay? This is the sad moment.
Oh.
What?
Her internet was lagging.
Oh. Like, I'm going to be honest with y'all. When it's, like, a good broadcast and everything, feel good energy. I broadcast longer than an hour, but
what?
I'm not feeling that today.
Where's your positivity?
I'm following up now. I've only not broadcast for 3 days, yo. Like, I get it. Thank you, Alexa Soros, for the bars. But anyways, guys, remember,
here.
You got a dream. You got to chase it. Don't let anyone's opinions
He's
affect you.
He's just copying
you.
Those dudes.
I love you so much.
Sue him.
Thank you for watching.
He doesn't really heed his own advice.
Love yourself.
No, he doesn't. Damn, love yourself.
That was such a terrible broadcast.
Love yourself.
That was such a
Where's
terrible
Where's the positivity?
Yeah. It was so terrible. I'm falling off you now. I really am.
Like, so that's something I learned. There's something called You Now, I guess, is another platform. So fun. It's a documentary. It's worth watching. You got to finish it. This is where Bryce and Bryce and Michael made their own collab channel and fired that manager.
What?
Yeah.
Oh no, he's going to be crushed. You're going to say they're not worth it. I knew it.
They thought that I was like keeping money from them during tour.
Which you probably
Mikey
were.
Ran and told Bryce all kinds of stuff that wasn't true in his ear and just created all kinds of animosity. And they
Bryce
tried to
lashes out. Sexual harassment allegation.
Exactly. And
against this dude?
Yes. And they did not go down that road in the documentary. I was so pissed.
A 7-year-old woman's face and be like, I will fucking kill you.
That didn't happen.
And say those words to anyone who is an elder to them is disgusting.
An elder.
Like, disgusting. And at that point, I was like,
how old is this manager?
I don't know. But he's got a cool scarf.
Really, really bad. And Bryce's mom is sitting 2 feet away and did not intervene. She wanted to say, Bryce has ADD. ADD does not make you go to a 7-year-old woman and be like, I'm going to fucking kill you.
Ooh.
Wait, why do you...
these two dudes shirtless hugging each other.
What? Is this gay? Is this meant to be gay?
Okay, change your pose.
No, it is. Okay.
I don't think
Joe's nodding his head. He's younger. He knows.
I don't think these dudes know that this guy's manipulating them to be homoerotic.
Only focused...
That's a little more than homoerotic. Yeah.
These guys do nothing
I like
either.
What I see.
They like, yeah, no, we'll be actors.
Are they?
They're brothers.
Couple?
They're brothers.
They're brothers.
Yeah.
What?
You never hugged your brother shirtless like that?
They were more than hugging. He was nuzzling his neck.
You've never nuzzled.
No, I have not.
I can't even ask you with a serious face.
Oh my god, that was weird.
So yeah, this manager. Ended up
so are they
sued.
Trying to appeal to gay dudes?
No, I don't know.
Hey, guys, do they want to see brothers doing that?
No, I don't think so. Do they want to see kids doing it either? It's so weird. It's such a bizarre
positivity.
World.
Remember,
yeah.
Positivity.
Don't. Oh, here's where Austin with a Y goes to. He has to get a real job, which he has.
Oh no,
he has no problem doing it. And two fans show up.
Oh, that's got to be horrifying.
Well, they just feel bad for him.
Why doesn't he go back to school? Oh, because he's got all the followers and be embarrassing, right?
Well, that was part of it. But then once his manager, that guy, dropped him, apparently none of his homeschooling credits carry over.
What?
So he said he is.
Because he dropped his manager, his homeschool credits don't count?
I guess, yeah. I guess the homeschooling teacher or tutor dropped him, too, so none of those credits carried over.
His manager's got too much power.
Well, that's I guess that's why he's a good manager.
My manager canceled my homeschool. It's like canceled all my credits, so now like I have no high school credits.
So like, what's the plan though? Like, what are you gonna do?
Bro, I'm gonna try to get signed into a school. I'm gonna try, but I don't really don't know. That my mom was talking to schools, and they're just talking about how they won't accept me right now.
How dumb is that?
I'm sorry, you don't have enough followers.
Yeah,
we're not accepting you.
It's a good, if you want to laugh at some of these idiots, it's a good
I got to tell you, the Cameron Dallas guy, who's, I don't know, like 24 now.
Well, he's got to be over by now.
I don't think he's over. I don't know. I wouldn't bet on it. But he was maybe 18 then, and he was going on tour with all these other twits. Mm. And like one couple of the guys were just really funny guys, you know, who put out these wacky clips on Vine.
That probably are not funny.
Oh, they were so not funny, and they acted like, you know, it was Chappelle and Chris Rock riffing away.
Yeah.
And it was so not funny. It was horrible. But these guys, this one of them who was from some small town in Indiana, his parents lived in this, I don't want to call it a house of skank. It was just a very small house, very, you know, pedestrian living. They seemed very happy. And here's their kid, who's this social media star, because he makes wacky clips. He's got like... two Range Rovers, a Maserati, a Corvette, you know, like a 5,000 square foot home in Malibu.
Oh, my God.
I swear to God, it was hilarious. He comes home, and I don't think he gave much to his parents, to be honest, if anything.
Well, man, I should. Oh, really?
And he's like seeing cars going, oh, I got to buy one of those.
Oh, he'll be like broke. He'll be broke in no time.
No, that's what I thought.
In no time.
But the property was certainly valuable. I don't know.
Do you want a Cameron Dallas update?
Oh, sure.
To his
absolutely.
To his 21.2 million followers.
Today is an exciting day for me. I've been wanting to make this video for a while, but basically I wanted to fill everyone in on what I've been going through for the last two and a half years.
Oh, no.
Cool.
I have...
What do you think it is?
Wow, it sounds serious.
It is.
Like testicular cancer or something.
One that's
I don't know.
That's where you went.
I have been diagnosed with testicular cancer.
Come on, guess. 24. A lot of fame early on.
Testicular cancer younger is you're more liable to have it.
No, but fame early on.
He needs a break. I have been overwhelmed.
In rehab, and I've been getting help and dealing with addiction, anxiety, depression, and a bunch of other things, family trauma.
Other buzzwords. And, buzzwords. I've been dealing with
good
buzzwords.
News. I am 105 days sober, so that's really awesome. And I want to stay on this path, and I kind of want to be an advocate. And
positivity.
I want to help others
new
spread
job.
Awareness to people.
Rehab advocate.
That's brilliant.
To
it is.
Get help.
And, they probably made it up.
I'm really excited. I'm really stoked. I'm
could
still
this guy really
this
get addicted to anything?
You mean other than the fame?
What, was he drinking two beers a night or something?
Well, he said anxiety.
Put himself an addict.
I'm going to guess it was Xanax.
Well, he was so anxious he couldn't go on stage a few times because he doesn't understand what's going on. All these kids just love him and he doesn't do anything.
Isn't it terrible when you have to question it because it's such a phony life anyway?
It was so phony, and honestly, I think that's what was bothering him. But he seems like he needs to go rehab,
and,
apparently.
I hope that you guys
hair looks
kind
great.
Of want to help me spread awareness, and if anyone needs help, please reach out.
And
I hope
follow
you guys
me.
Have a great day. Love you. Bye.
He's been in rehab for
can
2 years.
See his last, is his last post 105 days ago? Before that?
Oh.
I bet she posted from rehab.
267,000 likes on that.
Oh, that's below 10%, isn't it? Shouldn't he get 2 million likes? He's got 20 million followers, according to that manager.
Wait a second.
He's got like 1% engagement.
You're right. Oh, that manager would touch him.
Rehab? Who fucking cares about rehab?
So that post
what kind of skincare are you using?
That post was 2 days ago. How many posts do you think he's made on Instagram since that?
2 days ago? He's busy working on his sobriety. He's working his steps. So probably 26?
Four. Including this one where he looks really sexy.
What is that? He's wearing this ridiculous pants and shirt that match.
Yeah.
With these weird patterns.
Oh, and he made this
video.
Here
we go. Are you still sober?
He doesn't look sober. Not funny.
He's eating a long, long piece of candy.
That's it. That was like the whole post.
Clever. How many likes?
You got 1,015,000 views.
Time well spent by the 1 million people, including us.
He
all of you listening.
He's looking really sexy again.
Oh,
Lord.
Can we see, can we go back 105 days? I want to see what he's posting then.
That's three days ago. No, that was the Amazon.
Go back 105 days ago when he was hammered.
That's going to take me forever. He's going to have so many posts.
Well, just try.
How many days was it? Let's see.
105.
It's May 13.
That's close.
Wait,
that's about 97, 98 days. That's about 100 days. He should be 5 days into rehab. Wait, he better be in rehab.
He wasn't in rehab there. He
should have been.
Yeah,
his sister's having a baby. How can he be in rehab?
Ooh, he looks hammered here. May 21st.
Go back another month. Let's see how messed up he is.
All right.
If he's not messed up, I'm calling a foul.
Yeah, because you don't go into rehab right away. Here he is. Let's see. April 19th. I don't know what he's doing. He's on a phone. And he looks kind of messed up.
Oh, he's drinking something.
Oh, he looks wasted there. Yeah, look at that chick's tits. Me too.
Oh, my.
Whoa. Well, looks like he was living the life back
then. Wait, how about a video of him where he's talking?
I don't see any. Oh, is this? No, it's not.
Don't shoot anything before you go to rehab.
I got to tell you, this video's before rehab look a lot better than the ones after. Oh, here's a video for you, Drew. This
okay.
is February 17th.
So he's in the bathtub.
He must be
he's taking
bummed.
A bubble. He's taking a bubble bath.
And he's making a mess.
Oh my God, look at what a mess that is.
What a dork.
Wait, we almost saw. Oh,
he's got his undies on.
I thought we were going to see his wiener.
Oh, I hate him.
That's hilarious. Really clever.
To almost 2 million views.
Well, that's 10%, so manager be happy.
What a dick.
Can't be happening.
Go away. Well, I wish him all the best in this.
I do too.
From every buzzword.
Work the 12 steps, Cameron.
And family trauma.
What?
Family trauma.
I cannot believe. Oh, my God. I don't know. Sometimes I can't figure out if, okay, am I just too old to understand that all these things are finally being diagnosed and dealt with? Or is there something nuts if every third person has six different, you know, six different serious maladies to deal with?
I don't know. I mean,
family trauma. I saw his family on that show. They were really nice people. They were extremely supportive.
I feel like Harbaugh saying this, but there's a lot of people that need help with it, but there are some people that will take advantage of it. And I think
it just seems like victim culture. This guy, I think, who just walks around being Cameron Dallas, making millions of dollars.
I think of in the gay spectrum in Jawline, how there's a spectrum of gayness. I think there's a spectrum of anxiety. And they're all different, but people immediately. Everyone has anxiety. You should be anxious about certain things to a degree.
It drives you a little bit. I mean, you don't have too much, but
all I know is you got to stay positive. Don't let anybody tell you you can't dream it. If you can dream it, you can do it. You got to protect your dreams. That was one thing he said.
I want to get into the anxiety business. I want to buy some stock. I tell you, the weirdest story came up today, and GMA did a little piece on it at 7:30. It was really weird because it's about an astronaut.
Oh.
And this is the biggest astronaut story since the female astronaut drove with a diaper because she didn't want to stop. She wore a diaper. And, of course, remember we had the medley of all the anchors. Do we have that?
Oh,
all the anchors saying, TV anchors saying diaper.
Including Barbara Walters, who said diaper.
Yeah. No one cared about anything about the story, but that she was wearing a diaper for the whole drive. She drove like 10 hours to attack the other girlfriend of this astronaut she was crazy about. Wasn't that what it was?
Yep.
And nobody cared about anything but that she was wearing a diaper. That was almost the whole story. It was like, astronaut wears diaper.
I think the correct term is a UCD, a urinary control device.
That's right.
They love their...
There was a Cliff Notes theater on this.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, now... We have another female astronaut. I don't know if this is good for female the female astronaut business.
Wait, real quick. Oh, okay. I do have, okay. The Cliff Notes is out there.
So oh, okay.
We can get to that later.
You want to play it now?
We can play it now.
Is it lead up to?
I don't know how the quality is. That's why
okay.
I only
Well, let's give it a listen.
Reservation.
A lot of work went into this. Doesn't sound too bad yet. Cliff Notes Theater, the diaper astronaut.
I think this bitch is crowning. Push, push, push. Well, looky there. It's a beautiful baby girl.
Yeah, she looks just like you.
I think she looks more like an astronaut or something.
This is Kunanen, isn't it?
I see it.
I thought it was, but it is.
Kind of a psycho astronaut.
5 years later.
It's one small step for man.
Daddy, I want to go to the moon. Over? Until you get out of those diapers, you're not going anywhere, honey.
I don't copy that, Daddy. These are UCDs, urine collection devices, and they're really good for VMs, too. Over.
Oh, Christ, that's going to stink.
It is not.
Woo, somebody died in those UCDs.
They did not!
Fast forward to 1995.
And the final selection for the NASA training program is... Lisa Nowak!
Yay. Oh my God.
Fast forward to 2006.
And the 13-day Discovery blast-off in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
One year later, at fellow astronaut William Oefelin's home.
William, I'm going to check something out online. I'll just be a second.
I'm going to rush into the leak file.
William, you have the best astronaut I've ever seen, and I can't wait to sit on it. Who the f*** is this bitch? I'm flying from Houston to Orlando. I'll be there tomorrow. I miss your big... Well, you bitch, I'll show you. I don't share astronaut with anybody. William!
What's up, baby?
Where are my diapers?
What you need your diapers and...
It's 0900 and I've got a mission at 0905.
You never said nothing about no motherf***ing mission. I need UCDs, a steel mallet, 4-inch knife, get me your BB gun, and 2 large trash bags and pepper spray. Stat! What is this, some kind of MacGyver sh-? Just get it, or your penis will never see zero gravity again, asswipe.
5 minutes later...
mission knockoff, slut bitch, in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Miles later,
check BMCD bowel movement control device in 3, 2, 1.
300 miles later,
some people call me the space cowboy.
Transmission to self, remove used UCD and apply fresh UCD. That might really stink, but I doubt it.
Hours later at the Orlando airport.
Dick Fitzwell and Haywood Jablomi, please come to the airport information desk and flight 122 from Houston arriving at gate 33.
Gate 33, gotta catch that flight.
Ben and Eileen Dover, that's Ben and Eileen Dover, please contact the airport operation desk. Oh, and flight 122, now deplaning from gate 33.
Let's see, 31, 32, 33! Excuse me, are you calling Shipman?
No, but Jesus, did you just rip?
Negatory, I have had 2 fecal voidings in my UCD, but no, I did not just rip.
Boarding for Houston delayed for 20 minutes so we can clear unidentified funk from boarding area.
Are you calling Shipman?
Yeah, why?
No reason, I was just stalking you.
Listen, I'd love to get first huff of whatever the hell that is, but I've got a shuttle bus to catch.
Me too. I'll just stalk or follow you.
What's the BB gun for?
To stop somebody from boinking William O'Flynn.
That's crazy. What a coincidence. That's who I'm boinking. But look, I gotta catch this bus.
10 minutes later...
Nick, stop talking to Area 5B.
Hey, can you roll down your window, bitch? My boyfriend was supposed to pick me up, and he blew me up.
What a loser. Oh, my God. Is there a turd under your wig? Something stinks.
Maybe it's this pepper spray that you're about to get hit with, bitch.
What? This? Ow!
Hold it right there, you funky two-bit. You're under arrest for attempted kidnapping and assault with a deadly diaper.
What are you talking about? It's a urine control device.
Tell it to the judge, bitch.
2 hours later, bail is set.
Hey, look, we know you're an astronaut. We're not going to toss you in the general lockup.
So I'll have my own cell?
Yeah, but it's nothing fancy. A bed, a mattress, sink, and the crap are right out in the open.
Well, that's not a problem.
Okay, that's cool. If you're that modest, it'll serve you well.
Well, I don't know if it's exactly modesty.
Jeez, who died?
Is something wrong? I don't smell anything.
See, the whole story's about the diaper. The whole story.
Oh, that's so great.
That was verbatim. I think the New York Times was used as a... I think they verified everything.
With attempted kidnapping and possession of a loaded diaper.
She gets in her car. She wears Depend diapers because she's going to drive 900 miles.
Okay, wait.
Or why Nowak drove in diapers to meet Shipman's plane.
She drove the whole time wearing a diaper.
And when they caught her, when they apprehended her, she was wearing a wig and an adult diaper.
Lisa Nowak drove straight through from Houston to Orlando wearing astronaut diapers so that she wouldn't have to stop along the way.
900 miles in a diaper. That's pretty amazing.
But evidently the astronauts said that when they wear those suits, you know, they cannot go to the bathroom. So they wear a kind of diaper thing that
she's used to this.
According to police, Nowak drove nearly 1,000 miles from Texas to Florida wearing a diaper so she wouldn't have to stop.
When they arrested her, the cops said they hadn't seen a driver wearing a diaper in Florida since yesterday.
Wearing the diapers and spraying the pepper spray, she was going to take this to the nth degree.
In Nowak's car, police found diapers so she would not have to stop to use the bathroom.
And let me tell you something, ladies. Nothing turns a man on more than a woman with a full diaper. Yeah.
God, that's great. That was fun.
Oh, my God.
Fun time.
The diaper just completely dominated the story.
It's as it should.
Yeah, it should. No, you're right.
Here's that this guy or this girl could have been hurt. Who cares?
Wow. That's incredible.
All her astronaut training.
Well, there's a nice expanded lead into the news story.
Well, well worth it.
Where this astronaut, Anne McClain, is in orbit, accessing her estranged wife's, this lesbian couple.
Which confused me at first.
I know, me too. I still get confused by that. I shouldn't,
but I
did.
Wait. Women can be astronauts now?
So she's accessing her estranged spouse's bank account from space.
Cool.
I didn't even know you could do that, first of all.
I wouldn't think that you would be on the regular internet.
Well,
I don't know why, but I guess you got to pay bills while you're in space, too.
It's funny.
Hey, we don't give a shit if you're orbiting. You still owe us your mortgage, lady.
And the thing is, everybody's fascinated with, what's the law on that? She's in space. Yeah, can you commit a crime in space?
Like international waters.
And
anything goes. No holds barred.
The estranged wife filed an ID theft case with the FTC where the astronaut McClain said she was just checking up on her ex's finances because she wanted to make sure she had enough money for her child, who she had a year before they got married. And the astronaut, Annie McClain, wanted to adopt this kid with her spouse, and her spouse didn't want her to. So they split up, and the astronaut spouse, Annie McClain, was fighting for custody.
Yeah.
Now, I thought that was kind of weird.
I wouldn't think that she would have a claim.
No, I wouldn't either.
She's trying to defame her, or I don't know.
But what really set off the estranged woman with the child, Warden is her last name, was that Annie McClain was questioning her expenditures. And she's like, how do you know what I'm spending money on? She's in her account. While orbiting the Earth.
I was going to say, that's my favorite part of the sentence, is even though they were separated and McClain was orbiting the Earth. It's like, yeah, well, how would she know? That's the thing. You think astronauts are up there doing all these weird studies on zero gravity.
Yeah, and they're stalking their ex's accounts.
They're looking at a bank account.
Yeah, making sure there was enough money. Now, does that mean that Annie McClain, the astronaut, is she paying child support to the child that she can't get any custody of? I mean, I don't know. I just wondered.
Did she officially adopt her, though?
No, she wouldn't let her. The mother.
Why did she have any say whatsoever?
Mother, I don't know. But I wondered if the other woman was suing her for child support because she said, I want to make sure she had enough money. Like she, I don't know. Who knows? I mean, it sounds like bullshit to me.
Yeah.
Warden also.
It's what it is. It's all a lie.
This was very interesting to me. The estranged ex on Earth says that when Annie McClain, the astronaut, was on Earth, she assaulted her.
You mean terra firma?
Yes.
The story said terra firma.
She assaulted her. It's not funny. And McClain, the astronaut, says, I didn't assault her. She made it up to get custody. And
how? How does that? How would she?
I don't know. It seems she would get custody anyway.
Scissor me timbers!
And she said that she denied it was an attempt to have, she denied her attempts to adopt someone when they were together. Now, are you a little surprised?
I love lesbians.
Are you just a smidgen surprised that this astronaut accused of assaulting her spouse, a female, that she would go up in space? Well, I would think that thing would come up and they go, let's
you don't need to orbit right now.
Now, she was found not guilty, I guess, of the assault charge.
Well,
so,
it was a false claim.
But then she's checking her bank account up in orbit?
Did you hear excuse on checking the bank account?
Yeah, she wanted to see if she had enough money.
Well, no, but
for the kid, right?
That she didn't hack it. She's like, she was using the same password, and she never told me not to.
Yeah.
That's a pretty weak excuse. Never told me not to.
Both women should be in space.
Now, I want you two to kiss each other.
There's the judge when it comes down to it.
This is not good for women in space, by the way.
No, not at all. Why, all the men are doing all the work up there.
Women just don't compartmentalize enough. Damn it.
I guess she was done cleaning the bathroom on the space station. Just kidding.
It's a space station of skank. She's so busy going after her ex.
Charlotte has been really obsessed with space lately. So, I cannot wait to tell her the story.
It's easy to be obsessed with space. I mean, being obsessed, that's
awesome.
Cool.
It is
quite something.
Yeah, which she is pronouncing it Uranus, which, is very important. Not Uranus, as some people want to pretend it's pronounced. But we were watching something, and there was a lady astronaut talking about something, and her mind was blown. So already at her age, she's like, wow, women can be astronauts? I said, yeah. She goes, but I want to be a mama. She wants to, I said, well, you can do both. This is like the fifth time I've told her you can do two things. You don't have to be one thing or the other.
That's weird that she would already think she couldn't be an astronaut.
Well, I think there were so many guy astronauts first on the show we were watching that she's like, oh, wow, women can be astronauts too. It's like, yeah, you can do whatever you want.
Well, some
drives me nuts, man.
Some of the comments were funny.
What is Uranus?
One of the comments was, sounds like they need more space. Asshole.
That's a great comment.
That was funny. And then another guy said, I didn't think NASA allowed this much baggage in space. They were like, the story had just been posted, and there were like 600 comments.
Of course. Everyone loves the story.
Yeah, they do. How can
it's
you not
right
love
up
it?
There with the diaper.
And the diaper story, I've seen the story like multiple places already. The diaper story is referenced in a lot of the stories.
It should be.
I don't know why. It has nothing to do with it.
I mean, you could name like three female astronauts. One wore a diaper.
One pushed the wrong button and got blown up.
Exactly. And now this one.
Sorry.
I guess there was Sally Ride, right?
Oh, yeah, Sally Ride.
She died because McAuliffe pressed the button.
Did something weird just happen with Sally Ride?
Wait, I thought she wasn't on the Challenger?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, wasn't that Krista McAuliffe?
Yeah, but I thought there was another female. I thought it was Alan Boyd.
No, I think Sally Ride, I swear to God, I think she was in the news recently. I'm just not positive. I don't think
she died in 2012.
Oh, maybe that's what it was.
Was she on another one?
I don't know.
Oh, pancreatic probably. Cancer. Oh, that's not
fun. I have to admit, I don't focus super hard when I see Sally Ride in a story. It sucks. She's the first woman in space. No, I do. I'm sure I did. I just thought there was something I missed.
Yeah, she hasn't been in the news since she died.
Okay. Well, I wanted her to be in the news because I think it's so great what she did.
I had her dying in the Challenger, so what do I know?
I could have sworn there was something about Sally Ride. I mean, I know she's a hero. Hero to me, certainly, as you can tell.
Yeah, I'm a big fan.
She promoted learning and careers in science.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of my favorite things that she did.
She's positive.
She's in the National
Hall of Fame. She protected her dream.
She's in the National Women's Hall of Fame. I was excited when that. In fact, I went.
I was thinking of Judith Resnick. She was on. She was the real astronaut on Challenger. Because McAuliffe was a teacher.
Yes, she was a teacher in space. The whole class has watched her blow up, of
That's
course.
So
and her
awful.
That is so, man, when that thing blows up and you see her, and there's Krista McAuliffe's parents watching the Challenger blow up, and their reaction, they don't really know what's going on. It just looks weird.
How awful.
Oh, I know. That was just so bad. Because they made a huge deal out of that. You know?
And then all those, that's all teacher those mean in space. People, all those mean people, those terrible jokes. About, what does this button do?
There were so many jokes.
The Frozen. Wait, was it the Is that the Frozen Look of Horror? No.
No, the Frozen Look of Horror. That's the second to the last, or the third to the last time that astronaut news became huge news was when the Omni magazine reported
that
Soviet cosmonauts were floating around in orbit with frozen looks of horror. And, of course, Mike and I jumped on the story and called NASA to find out if it was true. Then it turned out we clipped the story out, and it was from the Weekly World News. We forgot.
I was telling.
Seemed like Omni did it too.
Space has been a big topic of conversation in our house. Julie and I were just like, yeah, you know, it is kind of amazing what astronauts do. And Julie goes, see, I should not be so mean to Buzz Aldrin. When you talk about it, I said, we're not mean to Buzz Aldrin. We love Buzz. He's great. He had a little alcohol problem. I said, but maybe Drew shouldn't have asked Commander Lovell if he could stuck his hand out of the window on reentry.
Just to see how hot it was.
Which was met with some of the loudest silence ever.
Yeah, it was. No, he didn't answer.
It,
it
so
didn't
awkward.
Compute. The question did not compute.
It was so awkward.
He's so focused. He's so about numbers and, you know, things being linear and whatnot. It just didn't compute. The question wouldn't process in his brain, so he didn't answer.
He's probably thinking, well, you can't stick your hand out the window.
The whole thing would blow up. What are you talking about?
I already knew it would be really hot.
That would mean the window's broken and we burned up already. How could I stick my hand out? Wouldn't have time.
I understand the curiosity aspect, though.
So Friday, what was it? Maybe it was Saturday. This guy Koch died, this billionaire.
Yeah, one of the brothers.
Yeah, the Koch brothers, they're mm-hmm. just loaded to the gills. And this guy's a big supporter of all things conservative. Is it just all things conservative or all things Republican?
He gets really painted as anti-environmentalist.
Yes, but he's, he's not a climate change believer.
I think they really pushed the Citizens United case that allowed PACs to throw money at elections because they're people too, free speech. I believe that's them.
So his donations.
They're the Soros of the other side. Right. They're the boogeyman on the right, and Soros is the boogeyman on the left.
So he dies, and within minutes, you know, I just saw he's trending on Twitter. I'm not really a big follower. I knew he was a rich guy. I thought his name was Koch, by the way. I forgot his name. What was I calling him? Oh, I was calling him Koch. I was thinking his name was Koch, like Ed Koch. Like Ed Koch. Yeah. And, you know, it's not somebody I really pay attention to. I really, as far as like big donors, and you know, when they come up in the news for screwing up. Otherwise, I just am trying to stay out of this. In fact, somebody emailed and said, you said you wouldn't have politicians on your show. You're talking about having a politician on. No! Because I was talking about the woman running against
and Warren
Fouts.
Oh, come on.
So it wasn't like, oh, no, I want to get more politicians on the show.
No.
Really? I would never do that. I think
reactionary, too.
I know. I thought it was a little dramatic. We have some dramatic people out there. My God.
Okay.
Anyway, so.
Good. Passionate. Don't. You got to protect your dreams, people.
So I see that Koch died, and it's trending on Twitter. And the next thing I see is all these people are
celebrating
his death. Awful. And, I mean, it was really rotten. I mean, really lousy stuff. And so I'm going, did this guy do more horrible things than – I mean, did he do something I don't know about? I was really kind of taken aback by it because among the people are celebrities – famous people like Bette Midler. Oh, I'm so glad he's dead. I don't have her tweet in front of me, but it was something.
And to that point, it makes me mad that the one person with the steady head in all of it was Alyssa Milano.
What did she say?
She kind of tweeted, you know, shame on you for celebrating a man's death.
I'm sure she got shit on for that.
Probably. Because she said something along the lines of you can't be anti-death penalty. And then celebrate a man's
death. Oh, please.
Well, I know. That part's a little ridiculous. But she was right that it's a little bad to jump over. I mean, the fact that the guy died, he does have a family. He did donate a lot of money for cancer research.
Oh, he donated money for a lot of things. A ton of things. And, in fact, he had prostate cancer. And when he got prostate cancer, I think that's when he started really donating money to charitable causes. Uh-huh. And I'm not trying to say he's a great guy or anything. I mean, I understand a lot of people really don't like him because he's a climate change denier. And I don't know. What does he do to deny climate change, by the way? What does he do?
He donates money to anti-climate change people.
Why do anti-climate change people need money? What do they do exactly?
They have a PAC to donate money to politicians to do their will.
But aside, I don't know, it just seems so weird. I'm trying to picture somebody coming and going, I am I don't believe in climate change, and in case you don't, would you please give me some money? I want to give money to the anti-climate change. What? Why all the money? Everything comes down to money, so of course it makes sense. But then...
But isn't this the problem that you can't disagree with someone's politics? And granted, that's a little more than disagreeing with someone's politics because they have a lot of money, which they're all both self-made. I mean, a ton of money. And they can spend it how they want. But you can't see that a person can do other things as well?
Well, first of all, he's dead. So he's no longer going to bother you if he really bothers you that much. And he apparently did bother a lot of people, and that's okay. And then Bill Maher said, was like, you know, prostate cancer won, Koch nothing. I never thought I'd root for prostate cancer. And I was like, oh, my God,
it's
really?
I just thought that was...
So anyway, here's the thing. I tweeted out that I'm like... Why do we really have to go this far with it? And I started getting pushback on my Twitter.
Really?
And I'm like,
of course.
Oh, really?
No matter what.
And somebody said, you do the same thing.
What?
It's like, I don't remember celebrating. I'm trying to remember who's the last person's death that we really celebrated.
Jeffrey Epstein. I'll celebrate that death.
I would admit. But he was a pedophile who had sex with hundreds of teenage girls, 13, 14, 15. I think that's a little different. I mean, if Manson dies and you celebrate, I think that's maybe a little different than...
He used his money to influence people to get himself out of a crime. So, you know what? Screw that guy.
Yeah, I find that really hard. I mean, I don't think the comparison... It's not hard to see a distinction between Jeffrey Epstein Adolf Hitler, Charles Manson, and Coke.
Yeah.
Is it really that? I mean, is it hard to see a distinction there?
They didn't do anything illegal.
And it just reminded me, too, that this is not the first time this has happened, because I'm trying to remember who was the last person that died, and people were really jubilant about it. Oh, L. Brooks Patterson.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the racist is dead, and a lot of really shitty comments immediately, and fuck him, I'm glad he's dead. I don't know, it just seems so... I don't know. I mean, I like pushing things, and I like pushing the envelope and having fun and all that, and sometimes... you know, things are controversial, and you can't be afraid to take a stand on something, or maybe take a stand on something really silly.
I'm not nuts about the stuff that he bankrolled and him and his brother bankrolled, but his death is not going to stop that.
Well, but also, he died. I mean, he just died.
I know.
I mean, really.
But I think people are celebrating it because, well, this is going to be over, or because an evil man is dead, first off.
I would think that a lot of people who have suffered from prostate cancer would not like what Bill Maher said at all.
No.
I don't think that would be seen as...
It's just, it's weird.
It reminded me of when, who died? God, there was a couple of people.
Well, how about when Barbara Bush died?
Oh, right. And that professor at Fresno State, where I was sending my twins and exactly. Possibly six of my children by seven women. And they couldn't fire her.
I know. Tenure. Cool.
I'm really confused about this. What if this woman stops going to class, stops teaching class, doesn't turn in grades? Is there no way to fire someone who has tenure? Because I thought... Celebrating the death of Barbara Bush, who, by the way, I understand that people can vehemently disagree with the politics of her child and her husband, but I don't think they're horrible people. I never did. In fact, I disagree with a lot of what happened in at least one of those administrations.
Mm-hmm.
But I would never say, I'm so glad that bitch is dead. I can't wait till the rest of them die. They're evil. And
what does that do for you?
I don't know. I really don't. I don't understand it.
Show that you're carrying a lot of anger around.
Well, Barbara Bush wasn't doing anything. She was married to one. One was her son. And really, was she that harmful in her existence? Did she push these politics? Was it her? Was she the demon architect of the horrible Bush family policies? No, she was a wife and a mother.
Peter, there have been
Barbara, quiet for a second. Sorry. My apologies, but yes. He's coming.
That's all she ever heard was Barbara, quiet for a second.
I don't know. I'm surprised, honestly, when I saw that it was trending on Twitter, I would have never dreamed that this topic would even ever enter the
second
podcast.
I heard he died, I knew that. You knew that was going to happen.
Who else was?
When George Soros dies, it'll happen the same way.
Let me find the article. Because I got to tell you, Bette Midler? Bette Midler really wants to do that? That seems so shitty.
She's always diving into the middle of it.
No, I know she is. And I know she's a never-Trumper, and she's always screaming about whatever the latest thing Trump did was. Okay, let me try this.
Here it is. Today, Charles Koch is learning how to overjoy the world be when he dies, because the brother died.
Yeah.
Because David died. Let's see, there's some more too.
Celebrated Hollywood celebs rejoice after David Koch's death. Okay.
I tweeted Charles Koch had died instead of David Koch is dead. I'm sorry to give others false hope. Guess it was just wistful thinking as we watch the Amazon rainforest burning, all the global warming culprits are foremost in one's mind.
Some of Hollywood's biggest names, including Bette Midler, John Cusack, and Judd Apatow. Among those voicing celebration over his death. Bradley Whitford? Wait, from Aerosmith?
No, probably the actor from Billy Madison.
Okay.
Not from the West Wing, the other one. No, they're the same guy. I'm thinking that's who it is.
Oh, his legacy of horror. Actress Alyssa Milano, who noticed fellow left-wingers cheering David's death, was quick to remind him, celebrating a man's death while fighting to abolish the death penalty is a bad look for Democrats. Humans. Oh, Stephen King, too.
Oh, boy.
Stephen King's tweet wasn't as bad. I would think you just, like, let it go for a couple days. Just forget about him. First of all, he's dead.
Yeah. Once again, what does it do for you?
I don't know. It just
really feel if you really honestly, feel that much better because somebody died, that's a little weird.
And you know what? The whole, you know, because I saw the article, celebrities celebrate death of David Koch. And I thought of Soros on the left, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if the same thing happened in reverse.
Oh, people would be, yeah. No.
But I didn't think people were that angry about the Koch thing.
Oh,
Koch
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, they are. Koch brothers, yeah. They're the equal and opposite of each
no,
other.
No, I mean, I didn't think that many people were really angry. There were a couple columns on it and stories on it. But I didn't think that, you know, people are ready to just take out Bette Midler and John Cusack and Judd Apatow. Whereas if Soros were, if his death were celebrated, would you see a similar response, I suppose?
Not from celebrities, no.
Well, what about James Woods and Scott Baio? Scott Baio is always the first person I think of. No one in Hollywood on the right. John Voight.
Antonio Sabato Jr.
Oh, Arthur. Wait. Yeah, Antonio Sabato Jr. Okay, yeah. There's only like four people that can even comment on it, so Maybe it's just not a, it's not apples and apples. Whatever. I don't know. It just seems that there's, boy, people are just so angry.
Yeah, they are. Bummer.
Yeah, too bad. Okay, so let's see.
I mean, honestly, my life has not changed one bit with his death. I can't believe people are so affected. There is new Epstein stuff we haven't talked about.
Yeah, the royal family is getting...
Well, I was talking about his playlist from Spotify.
Oh, yeah, his social media was brought out. He loves Louis C.K.?
I know. Well, who doesn't? Louis was funny. So I know, but found out all the stuff he did.
It's not good for Louis C.K.
I thought when I first read this, I'm like, what a monster. What kind of monster is 19 Spotify playlists? Who sits down and makes playlists?
I know, and just he has one for On the Way to France and On the Way Home from France. I guess one of them a refracting playlist.
I said to Zeus, I go, do you make playlists? And you said, no.
No.
No. Because I've made like one playlist in my life. And that's actually two. I made one for Charlotte and then one for a Muse show. I wanted their set list in order. That's it. 19 different playlists for different moods and things you're doing. That's nuts.
He's a rocker too. Although he's a snob. He has Bach on there. His playlist is horrible. I'd be so bummed. He's got like the Rolling Stones into Bach.
There was one he had on there that made me laugh really hard.
What?
Let me find. Hang on.
Oh, Hot for Teacher?
Oh, no. That made me like him. I thought that was pretty cool.
Good song.
No, he had this guy.
Isn't Teacher a little old for him?
He had this guy. I better yet go to Times Square, take a picture of me with a Kodak. He had Mr. Worldwide on there, Pitbull.
Oh, no!
Can you see Epstein dancing to this?
Yeah, I guess so.
Elton John, Aerosmith, I think you mentioned.
He loves Elton John.
The Who?
Loves Elton John.
He loves Celine.
Yes. I almost feel like he picked music so to create an image for himself, not because he liked the music. Didn't he have classical music on there? And
yeah.
He doesn't like classical music. Shut up, Epstein.
Eric Clapton's Before You Accuse Me. What does that mean?
Ooh.
Boris Chapman's Falling in Love with Jesus. What does that mean? It's just kind of fun to laugh at him.
Prince Andrew came out with his own powerful
real statement. Yeah.
And, you know, it's just the same old crap. Oh, I didn't know anything. And apparently when he got out in 2010, he still didn't know he was a pedophile.
He's getting a foot massage at his place.
Yeah, I thought that was very interesting. He's getting a foot massage from two Russian women. And by the way, Alan Dershowitz, who claims he got a massage from a Russian woman in his undies.
He never took his undies off.
He had his undies on.
Yeah.
And he said it was an old Russian woman. Well, the women that were massaging Prince Andrew's feet were not old.
Not so old, no.
So, what, would they have an old woman? And Dershowitz requests an old woman? Look, I don't want one of the underage girls. Okay, that's a bad look.
Well, it's so weird, though, a foot massage.
And you know, this girl, Virginia Roberts was her name at the time when she was 15, 16, 17, and this was going on. And she's pictured on a yacht, I think it's in France, when she's 17, for Naomi Campbell's birthday.
Yeah.
And there's Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell right next to her. Mm-hmm.
He has a foot fetish.
So we know she was all. She was in London. She was with Andrew in London. She's in that picture in London with Prince Andrew.
Did you see?
Didn't explain that, by the way.
What's the model? Who got you just said?
Naomi Campbell.
Did you see her response on YouTube?
I thought it was way overblown.
She had no idea.
But no one said,
Naomi Campbell's having sex.
Nobody said that.
No.
This girl says she was asked to have sex with Prince Andrew by Jeffrey Epstein and other people as well. So then you see him in a picture with a girl in a crop top with his arm on her bare hip. And it's a bad look. It's like, that just looks bad. Looks like it's his girlfriend or something. And then he's opening.
You don't take a picture like that with a strange 16-year-old.
Then this guy who gets this ridiculous deal in Florida, but nonetheless, he is convicted of pedophilia, underage sex. I prefer pedophile because that's really what it is. And oh, by the way, his charge was prostitution with underage girls. How can you have prostitution with an underage? No, he's a pedophile.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they actually crafted the charge to make him sound better.
What's the difference?
An underage girl cannot agree to have sex with a 50-year-old man.
Yeah, but what's the difference between pedophile and...
I think they make it sound like, these girls did it for the money. They knew what they were doing. They just happened to be a little underage, they're prostitutes. They're sex workers. What the fuck?
Well, you sound like his friend that gave that interview.
I know that. Oh, my God. What an asshole. Yeah. So... then he's opening the door at his house in 2010 after he's been in jail for being a pedophile. And there's two young girls running around, including Virginia Roberts, running back and forth and talking to Jeffrey and going back inside and knocking on the door. And Prince Andrew answers the door. And there's like two frames where you can see clearly it's Prince Andrew.
Yeah.
What the fuck is he doing there? He's clearly around this girl again. And this stupid statement they keep putting on. No. Why don't you sit down and explain? Because they keep saying, no, the dates don't match up. And by the way, matching up these dates from years ago, 15 years, 17 years, 16 years, where he was and she was and where they had sex. And she doesn't even know where a lot of these places are, but she has certain memories and there's certain flights that coincide with where he was and she was the same place he was according to flight logs.
Yep.
So, I'd like to hear him explain, remember that you had your arm on this girl? This looks a little cozy. What's that all about? What are you opening the door for? You're in his house. There's underage girls running around in front with your pedophile friend. What are you doing?
Do you predict that Prince Andrew is going to end up doing a TV interview with a very favorable interviewer?
Oh, very possible.
Like softball questions about it.
I hope not.
He's got to be asked something.
I think they're going to just hide him. I think he's not going to come back to the States.
Oh, there's no way he ever comes back.
He'll never come back, and he'll just go on and do his stupid thing. He's back with Sarah Ferguson, that whore.
Yeah, but they won't get married because you see the interview with his friends.
Oh, yeah, he said sex with 1,000 women. None of them underage.
Yeah, right.
Really, they know all 1,000 women. They know this.
Close friends told The Sun that Prince Andrew, sex for him is a big thing in Prince Andrew's life. They insist that he's not into young girls, which I don't believe.
Well, the British
says his apparent desire for new relationships even now is the reason he hasn't remarried the Duchess of Pork. The friend said he doesn't drink, he doesn't smoke, he doesn't take drugs, never has, but sex is a big thing in his life. He was known as Randy Andy for a reason when he was younger. That's never really stopped.
No, it hasn't stopped. And he flies all over the world on private jet and the British pay for this stupidity.
A charmed life. He should apologize for his royal privilege.
I can't think of the royals. The whole thing, normally my gut is to feel like, this is so stupid. But then you realize that, they bring in a ton of tourism.
They bring in a lot of money. They're mascots.
Yeah, exactly. But then you see Meghan and Harry at this $108,000 a week joint in Ibiza and taking a private jet to these climate change conferences. And it's like, oh, please. And then, of course, the British media is all over them. Private jet to, doesn't it seem a little hypocritical? And they're like, if we flew commercial, we would put the other passengers in danger because we're a target. It's like, we care so much about these other people. We wish we could fly commercial. We would so much prefer it. Then when all this was going on, William and...
What's he doing up there?
William and Kate took a commercial flight.
Yeah, but did you see the story about the commercial flight?
No, I'm not sure. I saw it was a short flight, wasn't it?
The planes were empty.
Oh, the plane was empty?
Yeah. And
how did that happen?
Let me find the story, because I honestly think
this
is going to sound absurd, but I think it was some kind of like...
it was fake?
Advertisement that they fly that airline.
So they got paid for it.
Well, I think the Royals did, yeah. What's his name, William?
Prince William. William, on that subject, you know, this idea that if they were on a commercial flight, you know the flight would run on time. I'd want to be on their flight.
Yeah.
They're not going to sit you on the tarmac for 9 hours with Prince William in the plane.
So they were in Scotland, so I don't know why they even have to fly anyway. Prince William and Kate were praised for taking the budget Flybe flight while traveling from Balmoral, whatever that is, to see the Queen. 73 pounds a head flight was stark contrast to the 4 gas-guzzling private jets Harry and Meghan taking. however, it has since been revealed that Flybe bosses ordered an empty plane to be flown 123 miles to pick up the couple and their children and fly them back.
The other thing was...
So they could get that picture right there of them on the tarmac.
They were going through all these private jets that, you know, Harry and Meghan, and they're just so worried about the environment. And they take more private jets to more places. They're constantly on private jets, leaving this giant carbon footprint that Elton John apparently pays for.
So
pollution goes away. Elton writes a check and the pollution goes away. It's so cool.
Oh, listen to this lie. William and Kate were said to be totally unaware of the alleged empty plane switch. What do they think? They just showed up to the airport and the only ones on this
plane? Give me a break. Anyway, the thing about Harry and Meghan is they were talking about, I think the palace was saying that their work is so important and they don't want to put these people at risk and they have to go so many. It's like, no, what work? They don't have any work. They don't have a job.
What do they do?
Their work is not important.
What is the work that they do that's so important? I mean, at least Princess Diana, didn't she do mines or she cleaned
She was involved in charities, but I think she probably left a giant carbon footprint just to bang a few guys around the world. Really?
No, but my point is we know what she did. I couldn't tell you anything that William and
Meghan's work is so important.
No, it's not.
And then some people were saying it was racism because Meghan is a mixed race. It's funny. I wasn't even thinking even in that neighborhood, but it just seems like it's an easy one to just throw out there. Let's throw this one out there and see what happens.
What a joke.
Yeah, there was a similar charge about that. What was it? I think it was the media complaining about access or something. I don't know. So stupid.
But her dad's white. The dad she won't see?
Yeah. You never take a private jet there?
I'm not a racist.
What if that's going to be her reasoning for not seeing him? Like, I can't take a private
plane. He could be on his deathbed, and they would go, Meghan, your father has one day to live. He wants to fly here to see you, and he would make him fly commercial. I guarantee he'd fly commercial. They would not send a private jet for him.
Well, he wouldn't know. He wouldn't know the difference. He should just be glad he's meeting her.
You want to get the audio for Bagel Boss and Lenny Dykstra? Yes. Did they have a weigh-in? Is that what it was?
Yeah, the big weigh-in and press conference. It was riveting.
Meanwhile, a couple other people in our world were making news. Eddie Money has esophageal cancer, and I guess he's been touring fully knowing this and being treated, and people have commented on, he doesn't seem to have a lot of energy, and I just can't believe this guy's plowing through his tour. He's talking about it on his show on, I think it's Axis.
Yeah.
Eddie's a good guy, and I know he's not taking great care of himself, but,
that's a bummer.
I hope he gets through this thing, and I'm stunned that he's touring through it, too. Like, wow. Why?
Yeah, especially if you need treatment.
He's supposedly getting treatment while he does shows. He had to cancel some shows, but he's trying to do his shows. And then, this Tommy Lee story, so I don't even want to mention it, that he was kicked out of a restaurant because he has to take his hat off.
Oh, the quotes are great, though.
I know. It's really...
Did you read the quotes?
Yeah. But that he said fuck from the way he's like, oh, fuck that or something. To his hat or talking about his hat.
They wanted him to remove his hat.
Yeah.
Because I guess it's a really nice place, Delmonico in New Orleans. The hostess asked him to take off his baseball cap, though she was allowed to keep hers on the... Vine star that she married.
Yeah.
So Tommy was like, oh, what the fuck? And took it off and put it on his lap. That's a quote. And then a guy comes up to our table. we have no problem. The hat's off. Everything's cool, bro. And it's like, excuse me, I heard you use profanity.
Everything's cool, bro.
I might have added the bro.
Oh, okay.
You know what? Fuck you. We're leaving. That was his response. He pointed out that he was not cursing at the hostess when he removed his hat. He took to Twitter to discuss the incident, writing, "Hey, Aunt Emeril, I just was at your restaurant in New Orleans, bro, and I was aggressively asked to leave because I was upset about removing my hat. I removed it, and they still came to the table and gave me a hard time. What the fuck, dude? 4 question marks.
Oh, God.
The celebrity chef.
Yeah, we really all needed to know about this. They'll never recover from this.
Then he responded, Emeril did.
Oh, they did.
Hey, at Mr. Tommy Land, at Delmonico New Orleans dress code is getting as much attention as the Popeye's chicken spicy chicken sandwich. That's all he wrote.
Boy.
How lame. At the end, oh, Brittany Ferland, she made a video. Oh, that's fun.
Who's Brit?
His wife.
Oh.
She wrote,
oh.
We don't want to be in some stuffy-ass place where they're like, take your hat off. Yeah, because they kicked you out because you wouldn't follow their stupid rule. Ugh.
Friends. I've had interest in Tommy Lee at times, and, you know, Motley Crue certainly was a huge band. And, you know, we had him in. He was fun to have in. He's a little edgy. You can always upset him real easily with the wrong question. So it was one of those things where I was always relieved when he left, like, oh, God, that went okay.
I know.
I mean, he's one of those guys who'll turn on you, really. If you don't, you don't like because he's that big.
Do you remember when he almost turned on us when we had him in studio?
Yeah, we asked about the Pam Anderson video.
No, you were plugging. T-Lo was in there too. Don't forget.
Oh, that. Of course, yeah. T-Lo, who had plenty to say.
And you were plugging that new song or video, and you were just like, let's take a look at the video. And he just fucking went off.
Oh, yeah. He thought I was talking about the other video.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. It was bizarre. So I don't believe weird. He apologized either.
So apparently the word video is quite the trigger for Tommy Lee, or was back then.
I'm sorry, Tommy. I didn't know.
All right. Here's the weigh in between Bagel Boss and Lenny Dykstra. And Lenny's, what, a foot taller?
Yeah, Lenny doesn't look bad here. Is he working out?
Yeah.
It's doing him some good.
No. Stare now. Guys, look at the cameras.
Shout out, Bagel.
I have no intention to hit you now. Just wait. Just
September 28th, 801 Boardwalk Showboat.
Let's go, Bagel.
Let's go now.
Guys, celebrity boxing.
Who's the dick yelling, let's go, Bagel?
Guys, I'm
ridiculous. Angry Bagel guy.
September 28th.
This is so staged, isn't it?
Webtix.com.
Wait, who shoved him?
Lenny shoved him.
It was Lenny.
But it's so staged.
Lenny slapped him.
Stare now. Guys, look to the cameras.
Shout out, Bagel.
I have no intention to hit you now. Wait for the fight.
September 28th. 801 Boardwalk Showboat.
See, he times it just when this guy ends his announcement.
Guys, celebrity boxing.
Guys,
Lenny
I'm there.
Dykstra. Angry Bagel guy.
September 28th.
Webtix.com.
That's such a cheap shot.
So lame, but I guess it worked.
Lenny. Bagel Boss is just not ready for this at all.
Lenny barely shoved him, too.
Ooh, Bagel Boss trying so hard to get back at him.
He's swearing at him. Look at that guy holding him back by putting his hands on his shoulders. Oh, lame.
Oh, whatever.
So lame, man.
Lenny Dykstra.
Wow, Lenny.
You know what? I want to... We should wrap it up. We're at 2:30 mark, and... We're Brandon-less. I wanted to mention just quickly, ESPN was having a... It's not a sports podcast. They were having a discussion, you know, with... There's always the, you know, couple athletes, some white chick that's really hot, and somebody else, you know, some other panelist, and it was some white guy I've never seen before. And it was Stephen A. Smith, though, with a white chick and a white guy, and it was about... The Dolphins coach,
yes,
playing Jay-Z music. He played 8 Jay-Z songs the day after it was announced that Jay-Z had the deal with the NFL, which a lot of the players didn't like.
And Kenny Stills is on the team.
Yeah, Kenny Stills was very vocal about, how can you do that when Cap doesn't have a job? And, well, you know, he was upset. Okay, he wasn't alone, but he made a lot of noise about it. So they're talking about this, and Stephen Smith saying, you know, what do you think about this? And so he says... You know what? Personally, I don't think Kenny Stills is getting it done as a player. He's been in the league 6 years. He's never had a 1,000-yard receiving season. And if that's what it takes to motivate him, maybe it gets him off his duff.
Who said that?
Stephen A. Smith.
Okay.
And
good luck!
So then the chick comes into the fray, and she starts pointing out that there's a power imbalance between the coach and the player.
Yeah.
And that
that's why he's a coach. And
yeah, and this is a triggering thing Jay-Z is
what?
To the player. Yeah, and there were other buzzwords. I'm trying to remember because I think I wrote you a text about
stay
it.
Stay off the weed.
I'm trying to find my text. And the white guy comes in and starts talking about 400 years ago there was slavery. And blah, blah, blah,
wait, wait, wait. The coach is black, though.
I know, I know. No, I know that. And I think Stephen A. Smith pointed that out. So it was just so insane. I completely understood what Stephen A. Smith was saying. I, you know, it was a story like, gee, why did he do that? And I thought it was kind of interesting. Like, I don't know, is it just dumb or is it actually have a message? And the coach, I guess, came out and said, yeah, I was trying to get him fired up because it seems like he's really full of vim and vigor when he's talking about something off the field, and I want that on the field.
Yeah.
So
seems normal.
I didn't think, you know, having been around sports myself and seeing coaches do things to try to motivate people, I didn't think it was a problem. But apparently the power of balance is unfair in this case. So
that's insane.
I know. I'm honestly
trying to look for how much Brian Flores gets paid to be the head coach, because I wouldn't be surprised if he gets paid less than Kenny Stills, because Stills makes about $7 million.
He makes $7 million? He doesn't even get 1,000 yards?
Yeah, I believe that's what his salary is.
Well, okay, I'm looking for my text because I know there was more. Oh, geez.
Power imbalance. Shut up.
Yeah, he was abusing the power dynamic and making light of 400 years of institutional racism. That's what she said.
Wow, boy, is she really reading into something, man.
And then the white guy came in and he agreed with her, not Stephen A. Smith, who's the black guy, which is.
Well, he can't not agree with her at that point.
I don't know. Honestly, stuff like that just makes me want to cry. It's like, this is a sports thing.
But
it's
you know
a pro football team. These are grown men. They make a lot of money. And sometimes, you know what? People do things that may be taken a multitude of ways. But to get into all this, it's a power imbalance. You know, therefore, you can't do it.
You know what that means to me? That,
yeah, he's his coach. He's his coach. There's a power imbalance. He's his coach.
Yeah, he doesn't have to play him. That would be a power imbalance if he benches him, right? That's really kind of his job, is to win the game and put the right players out there.
I don't know. When political correctness starts coming into sports, it really gets weird sometimes.
The problem with that is that's them just trying to fill 24 hours of bullshit content.
It's bullshit.
But
it's like
bullshit
arguments
that mean nothing.
I don't want to hear this argument on ESPN. You know,
I am not having a good day!
If that argument lands somewhere else, maybe it doesn't bother me that much. On ESPN, it should be, his coach. Player. He's trying to fire up his player. Okay, next. Did it work? Did it not work?
There's nothing else to talk about. They're probably elated that Andrew Luck stepped down.
Oh, yeah. Of course they will be. Yeah, no, that's a great story to talk about. That gives them material for days and days and days. And that's,
good luck!
There's plenty of that. I never dreamed I would not like a sports network, but I find ESPN so annoying so often.
I don't watch those shows.
I know why they have to turn it into all this other stuff.
So you got to fill time.
And I think social media has made me dislike the NFL a lot too, because I see the players differently. They're, you know, they used to be just people I loved watching, and you know, Walter Payton when I was growing up. I loved Walter Payton. Just love. And it was nothing but that. Never was. Always was. But then, you know, Ezekiel Elliott, you know.
He's disrespectful.
Well, you know too much about
it. Knocks over. No, exactly.
That's the problem.
And I don't like a lot of what I know because, you know, whatever. They're young people. They get in trouble.
I always loved the people of sports, but I've loved sports all of my life.
That's basically what you're saying.
They get a lot of money at a young age and, you know, bad things can happen. Yeah, you're right, though. You just know too many people too well, and some people don't want to leave anything to the imagination. They just want to barf out anything that comes to mind, and sometimes it's not so cool. Why don't you get us out of here?
Oh, gladly.
Somebody asked me if I saw the Serena doc.
What?
Serena Williams? I saw the Serena doc that was on Backstory. Have you seen Backstory?
No.
I think it's on ESPN.
Are you talking about Serena Williams?
Yes. Okay. It's about the U.S. Open when she went off on the judge.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone said, oh, it's a man, and he's making a case because this woman dares to complain. She's hysterical or whatever.
Talk about a power imbalance.
Yeah, she has the power imbalance. She's the superstar. He's the lowly judge. That whole story was so messed up. And actually, Backstory, I thought, did a decent job of pointing out that bullshit. She was a horrible sport. Mm-hmm. She took attention away from the girl that won the thing. The girl that won, Asaki, I think her name was.
Yep.
She was a kid. She was bawling. She was crying because she was so upset because her hero was throwing a shit fit while she beat her ass.
Yep.
It was
bummer,
horrific,
man.
Sportsmanship.
Serena's apologized since.
I could not understand why it was painted as this, oh my God, this judge was so terrible. How can you do that to Serena Williams? She called him a thief and a liar and demanded an apology. It was ridiculous.
Wrong.
So that was Backstory, which I thought was a good show. I'm curious to see what other backstories they do, because it was a good topic, and they talked to a lot of people about it, too. So there you go. We'll catch you tomorrow with Trudy. See ya.
Dweller H.
Oh, Dick Clark has some questions, we understand.
Oh, my dad has a couple. Actually, he ended up in the Oakland Press the other day.
Ladies and gentlemen, 101 WRIF and Drew and Mike welcome you to Dick Clark's Corner.
Jesus Christ, not that Dick Clark. Hello, Detroit. It's me, Mike's dad, Dick Clark. The following is an editorial of my views. It may not necessarily reflect the views of the management of WRIF Radio, although they goddamn well should. For a transcript of this proceeding, write to... Oh, hell. What kind of an asshole wants a copy of this? Catch you next time, and don't let Mike do a hatchet job on me.
I want to talk to somebody in command.
I've never had a satisfactory response to what the 60 Minutes hatchet job was on your dad. I would just kill to go into 60 Minute archives and look under the Dick Clark Index and find him. Can you imagine seeing your dad on 60 Minutes?
Oh, that would absolutely be unbelievable. That would be the coolest thing in the whole world.
Can you imagine seeing that shot of Mike Wallace like 30 years ago?
Oh, my God.
He's got just a few wrinkles in his face going... Yeah. We talked to someone who sells this insurance. Dick Clark, a broker out of Detroit, Michigan.
Yeah, all right.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, it's legit. I think it's backed. That's the way they told me to sell it.
But what Dick Clark doesn't know, or says he doesn't know, is that the company moves every 6 months.
And then he wraps up
the
interview.
They've never paid a claim in all their life.
And he does this interview, and he thinks it came out really good. You know, everything else sits on the TV camera. Can't wait to watch it, and then it's just this hatchet job, as he said.
I can't believe it really happened.
That thing to make me look like an asshole.
Do you think he was really on 60 Minutes? Do you think maybe he's on like PM Magazine, and he's kind of just over the years?
Who knows? Over the years, forgotten. He's blurred the line.
Yeah,
I know.
It happens.
Yeah, I know. And usually, when he blurs the line,
PM Magazine,
it does go
60 Minutes. Wouldn't that be funny if PM Magazine did a hatchet job on him?
Oh man! I can't picture it. He started doing a couple of commercials for somebody too once. I can't believe that either. Trying to think who that was. I might have the video on that one.
Oh, bring it in.
That would be great. That would be hilarious. Well anyway, this
editorial.
I know the Oakland Press did a hatchet job on this, Mark. When Mark found this, it was obvious that there's no way my dad had to write far more than this. Titled, United States Can't Fix All the World's Ills. The United States always has been a world power, willing to help those in need, but conditions have changed in the past 15 years. The economy now is global, and fanatical nations entertain guerrilla warfare. Many countries take our money, although they hate our so-called arrogant ways. The Iraq War was justified to some extent because of the terrible conditions the people suffered, regardless of whether weapons of mass destruction are ever found. Liberia's in trouble, and few other countries can help. If we continue to play nursemaid to all these assholes, we shall become so immobilized, we shall not be able to defend ourselves. We need another Harry Truman, not another George Bush. Amnesty for illegals, increasing immigration levels, and steering away from the English language to buy votes will haunt the nation. Richard Clark, Rochester Hills.
Well, that's a good letter. I like that letter.
That's, you know, not bad, is
I'm
it?
I'm not that sour on George Bush. I'm not sure what he means by Harry Truman.
I don't know why he's like over it.
Let's see. Harry Truman, maybe Harry Truman didn't... How do we get in Korea? Was that Harry Truman?
Oh,
Harry
brother.
Truman took over for FDR in 44. He finished his term, was elected. That was the infamous Dewey defeats Truman. And then Truman won a second... Did he win...
He dropped the bomb, didn't he?
Yeah, he dropped the bomb, but that wasn't his conflict. He was just ending it. Yeah. They started it.
Maybe that's what...
But Truman had the term from 48 to 52 also, didn't he?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, because there was just some information out that he was thinking about telling Ike to run in 48. Hmm. But he ran anyway.
Hmm.
So he was president for 8 years. So but did he get us into Korea? Maybe he did.
I don't know.
That would have been a rather marginal conflict.
I'll have to ask him
Although
about
Bush,
that.
Bush, you know, it's funny. I think I'm inclined to say if it's a conflict or if it's a country that like 90% of the country has never heard of,
right?
AKA Liberia.
Yeah, right.
We shouldn't be involved.
No, absolutely
not. Or Grenada.
Oh God, what a farce! Yeah, totally.
You know what's funny about Grenada? It was like, I remember when we took on Grenada. It was like, first of all, who is Grenada?
Yeah, right.
And then you see this tiny little island.
Yeah, right.
It's like, you know, the U.S.
Yeah.
And there's little Grenada. And then they describe how we just kicked their ass. It reminded me of the U.S. men's basketball team the first year it had pros on it. It was like, why am I watching this game?
Right. Right, exactly. That was just the most asinine situation. You know what he's got? You want me to read this? He's got one.
Oh,
he's
got another one.
This one, actually, what's interesting about this is...
I think the last one was a good...
That's the letter of letters. This thing here he passes on, it's a true story, he writes. And it's something else.
This is a true story.
I'll throw it out at you real quick. And this was entitled, Gotta Tell You This One. A Charlotte, North Carolina lawyer purchased a box of very rare and expensive cigars. Now, I wonder if this story is going all around. I don't know. Very rare and expensive cigars, and then insured them against fire, among other things. Within a month, having smoked his entire stockpile of these great cigars, and without yet having made even his first premium payment on the policy, the lawyer filed the claim against the insurance company. In his claim, the lawyer stated the cigars were lost in a series of small fires. The insurance company refused to pay, citing the obvious reason, that the man had consumed the cigars in a normal fashion. The lawyer sued and won. In delivering the ruling, the judge agreed with the insurance company that the claim was frivolous. The judge stated, nevertheless, that the lawyer held a policy for the company in which it had warranted the cigars, that they were insurable, and also guaranteed that it would insure them against fire without defining what is considered to be unacceptable fire, and was obligated to pay the claim. Rather than endure a lengthy and costly appeal process, the insurance company accepted the ruling and paid $15,000 to the lawyer for his loss of the rare cigars lost in the, quote, fires. Now the best part, my dad capitalized that.
I already figured it out.
After the lawyer cashed the check, the insurance company had him arrested on 24 counts of arson. The insurance company had him arrested on 24 counts of arson. With his own insurance claim, the testimony from the previous case being used against him, the lawyer was convicted of intentionally burning his insured property and was sentenced to 24 months in jail and a $24,000 fine. This is a true story and was the first place winner in a recent Criminals Lawyers Award contest. I say, only in America! In big capital letters. Love, Dick.
I didn't know he had a Don King side.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, exactly.
Only in America.
Only in America. Where did the Don King reference come from?
That's funny.
Sounds like an urban legend to me, doesn't it?
Yeah, it reeks of it. Yeah, I think he got sucked in.
That's
funny. He actually credits the source.
Oh, I know, yeah. I can see my dad being sucked into probably every urban legend that comes along and goes with you.
So, Mike, my cousin's nephew was at this wedding, and apparently the bridegroom got up to thank everyone.
If you would just look under
the centerpiece of your table, and you'll see 8 copies of a picture. I always assume it's one to each member of your table, and you'll see my wife to be making love to the best man.
That's exactly. Think of it as if I were to interrupt him about like 30 seconds in, he'd be like, "Oh, bull blank. I don't know, Mark. I think this is real." I mean, he would fight me on it. You know what I mean? No, Dad. Swear to God, that's fake. I'm telling you.
What is the world coming to? I just heard a story the other day about
who would put fake crap on the internet.
Someone woke up in a bathroom provide with a note that said, "Call 911. And it had a large scar on the back because some asshole had removed his kidney and liver to sell on the black market.
And wait till I tell you about this woman and this peanut butter.
And her crazy dog.
I should send my dad out to that Darwin Awards. Let him get all this stuff down.
I love the Darwin Awards.
Those are great.
Those are total BS.
God, yeah. Although, to this day, I still fall for that business of that car that went sailing into the cliff. The guy that had that Jado rocket on that Chevy. Remember that?
That story's so funny.
Oh, that story is unbelievable.
Wait, I'll tell you some other Darwin Award winners. There was one where the gerbil comes flying out of the butt and bursts the guy's nose. That wasn't a Darwin Award.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. You know what? When we first did that, we were at the front end of that. It was he would yell Armageddon when he had enough. They put the gerbil in the homo's butt, and then the guy would dig it. But when he had enough, he would yell Armageddon.
Right.
So his boyfriend was down there by his butt.
His butt, so no other gerbils crawl in there unnecessarily. Yeah, so he's done with the first one.
Yeah, and they had a cardboard tube in the butt, and then he lit a match so the gerbil could find its way out. So the
gerbil could find its way out.
And of course,
well, he's going, "Hey, would you light a match or something? I can't see squat."
Absolutely. And when he lit a match, it ignited a pocket of methane in his intestinal tract and blew the gerbil out the guy's a-hole.
And broke his nose.
Because of course his face was right in the guy's butt.
They got the story because the guy went to the hospital and went, look at this mess of a nose. Well, what happened? So instead of saying he got hit by a ball or something, he goes, "I was yelling Armageddon, waiting for the gerbil to come on my buddy's ass. Instead of crawling through the tube, this methane apparently hit him, and he came flat out, broke my nose. Can you believe that crap? Is insurance going to pay for this?"
Exactly. They put him in exam room number 3. Yeah, and this thing just went boom, and just shot that gerbil. I got a guy out of a cannon at the circus into his face.
You do remember the other ridiculous Darwin Award winner, the guy who, attached 10 helium balloons to his lawn chair and flew up to, 10,000 feet.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Those stories, man, they're all in one place. But, boy, when you first hear them, some of them.
Yeah, I always loved the story.
Yeah. Like that gerbil one, we were on the front edge of that
one.
That was
so fun.
We really were early with that one.
Yeah, we were.
Yeah, we...
it had credibility when we read it.
It really did, yeah.